Whatever happens, whenever I turn on the microphones, that's when Charles burps. Like, without fail, every time.
Burp.
What was that noise?
I didn't.
There was a noise that came out of you.
What noise? I didn't make a noise.
No, it was kind of creepy.
I didn't make a noise.
I heard something.
The microphone wasn't even in my hand.
That's how loud
it's like the noise somebody
was.
Woke up smog.
All right. Well, welcome to the Matthew
I'm
Aaron
so glad
Show.
I came to this today.
I am Matthew Aaron. www.TheMatthewAaronShow.com because you haven't seen me in so long.
Yeah, it was a great couple of weeks.
At Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Facebook, go to the search bar, type in The Matthew Aaron Show, click search, click like, you do that whole thing. What else is there? Oh, this is for you, Mikey.
Stitcher.
You don't want the classic phone?
We're on Stitcher.
Oh, please do it. I just want to see Mikey hold that all day.
At Matt Aaron on Twitter. Lee Capreas, hello.
Lisa, oh, of course.
At L Capreas on Twitter. Click like. I just got all that in.
How many plugs did you get while I'm setting up this phone?
I mentioned Stitcher.
You're
and
out
Twitter.
Of plugs. Oh. I heard Lee Capreas. I heard L Capreas over
it.
There. Lisa was holding that phone up one time the whole time. Now I can hear again. Mikey fixed it, I guess. No? Well, I can hear a little.
He unplugged the telephone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So broke, yeah. So, anyways, well, if you're a Ray Donovan fan, you may want to get working headphones.
Watch my third episode I've ever seen.
These work.
Do they?
Yeah, the big ones work.
Oh.
So you got in everything, Stitcher, iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes.
Pithy
Stitcher,
comments.
Pithy comments, yeah.
Did you get in your AIM?
No bloviating, yeah.
Yeah, no bloviating. You got in our Bill O'Reilly reference, okay. What else do we do? We do nothing else.
No more AIM.
Oh, is there an AIM? Oh, we have an AIM name?
No.
Oh, I have an AIM. This broad reminded me about how much we used to talk on AIM in like
was yours
high school
ice cold?
Oh, yeah, so high school.
Same as my AOL, right?
Yeah.
So just to see if it was still around, I downloaded it on my phone, and there's AIM on the phone. And there's still a lot of people that use it. I went through my buddies list, and there's a lot of people signed on to that.
I, for the hell of it, signed on to my MySpace, and it's still active.
Now, that's still the... Well, I don't know if I have a MySpace, but I know it's still active. I've heard people do that. But my buddy list on AOL is still active. And there's some, like, randos still on there. And they're still randos, and they're still on there.
You and Billy Whack have a nice conversation.
And I haven't talked to Larry in a bit. Larry keeps busting my nuts because I keep talking about L.A. I'm like, you need to go to L.A. then, Larry. Stop being jealous. Go to L.A.
You know, I remember meeting girls on, like, AOL. Like, I
you mean
remember,
in, like, beach party chat room?
Yeah, right. I remember I met this girl. She lived in LaGrange.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's so far away because I didn't have a car at the time.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out a way we can.
Oh, I know. This one girl I met in Addison, I thought it was like a state away. Because
like,
I was like 15.
Yeah, like, I can't ride my bike there.
She said to me, I'm in Addison. I'm by the train tracks. And I'm like, oh, my God, there must be so many black people. That's before I knew anything.
By the train tracks, sounded like she wanted you to rescue her.
She was tied
to the tracks by Snidely Whiplash.
I don't know why I thought that.
And you had to meet up somewhere in the middle, so it's like, all right, we'll meet up at Chicago Ridge Mall.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. My mom put, like, the fear in me. Like, I would say I was, like, a quarter racist for, like, 18 years of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Because of my parents.
Me too.
That sort of went away.
But we all were.
Now I love everybody. But,
quarter?
But, well.
I was more than that.
Yeah, I was a little more than that.
But
we remember the games I used to play, right?
The reason is, this was my mother about it, and she'd kill me if she knew I told this story. But, like, Chicago Ridge Mall. And by the way, Chucky and I have now been to Chicago Ridge a billion times. And it's not, like, gang central or anything.
No, but it's getting pretty bad.
But when I was, like, 16, my mom's like, Chicago Ridge? You know the Latinos with knives hang out over there?
Ford City
all
was
the time.
Worst.
Ford City. Yeah, I couldn't go that way. When I told my mom one time, we used to be covering wrestling in Midlothian, and she goes, what's that by? And I go, Oak Lawn. She was like, like it was like
Oak Lawn
a heart attack.
I mean, now it's okay, but
it
back then
fine
it was fine.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine then. It was all old Italians.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Polish.
Midlothian's nothing. It's a hick.
No.
It's hillbillies.
Yeah.
It's all... You and I've talked about this, Midlothian. It's all tractor trailer hillbillies with like four teeth.
Hey, we have a lot of great memories at MSG.
I like to MSG. Is that what you call it?
That's hilarious. Midlothian Square Garden.
That's right.
You know, Midlothian. It's like Romeoville East, as far as I'm concerned.
Romeoville. That's good. That's good. So let's see what else was going on. What happened while I was gone? Anything good? Nothing. No, nothing.
I'm single again.
Chicago's so exciting.
I fucked up my neck.
Know, that's awesome. You fucked up your neck working out?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I got a little bit of weight stuck on it.
Ooh. Well, yeah, Chucky's single, which Lenny and I found out. And then what did you get from me? I sent you a message. And
it was a text message with the opening from Carmen in it.
It was the opening.
Nothing like supportive friends, I tell you.
But wait, which comes right after me saying this is like the scene from Goodfellas.
Yes.
When they see the kids coming out of the court and everybody's so happy to see him.
Oh, my God.
Never. And it's not even like she did anything to any of you.
No.
No, I never even met her.
I actually
I don't
really
think I've
her.
Ever met her.
I know.
I really like
I'm
her.
I'm the only one that didn't meet her. You didn't meet her.
You met her.
You
I was
met
there
her.
When you
yes.
met her.
Yes. And she doesn't remember you either. So.
And you're like, I'm like, let's Chucky's new girlfriend. Ah, I want to talk to her. I'm like, you don't even know her. I don't like her. I go, you don't know her.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I have to like her. I'm going out to have a cigarette. Len, let's go have a cigarette.
Sounds about
it
right.
Was that,
yeah,
it was no. that Lone Wolf on Randolph.
Sounds about right. Oh, Lone Wolf. That's right.
Yeah.
She was there?
Yes. The second time we went there, not the first.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. I don't even drink anymore.
Yeah.
Though someone slipped me a drink in L.A.
How was it?
Oh, L.A. was great. Put it this way, pal. It's really hard to come back here. I love Chicago. like I bleed Chicago. I drive into the city yesterday, and I go, oh, my God, it looks so great. So not L.A. And then the people in Chicago just ruined Chicago.
You know, I'm starting to really pick up on that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I go to L.A., and yeah, it's a little hoity-toity. Yeah, everybody's a little fruity and nutty.
Yep.
But let me tell you something.
How many Joe Farinas are there in L.A.?
Zero. Let me tell you something. There are so many people in L.A. They're like, they look like fucking tens, nines. They look like they came off a billboard. And they'll walk up to you and say hello, and they'll be nice to you, and they won't give you any looks like you're an asshole. And like, and I'm in the heart of it. I was in West Hollywood. That's where my hotel was. I was at the Standard, one of the most celebrity, hoity-toity, model-y hotels next to Chateau Marmont, okay?
Name drop.
Right. No, but it's just what it is. And it's like you go to the pool there, and they got DJs at the pool and models walking around everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And you're expecting this to be pretension fest, and everyone's kind of full of themselves and really cunty. No. Everyone walks up to you and goes, hey, what's up? How you doing?
That's because none
of the... Say hello.
That's because all these people are from Iowa and Ohio. And
I'll have a club soda at my table,
right?
And people will come sit at my table. I was like... I miss this about L.A. because I went to L.A. when we moved there, Lee and I, and it was you and me and Steve originally. And I, under the impression that all these people in L.A. were going to be assholes, that they're all full of themselves and love themselves and blah, blah. And I'm not saying their nice attitudes aren't somewhat fake. Sure they are. But I kind of like that compared to the Chicago attitudes where they just automatically hate you and you got to earn them to like you. I don't like that.
And it's a constant battle.
It is. And I don't like it. I don't feel like I need to work for you to like me. I don't have that kind of time in my day. Let's just assume, like I do in L.A., I like you, you like me, and we'll go from there. Let's work towards hating each other, not liking each other. That's kind of my thing. I got to tell you, I have a very negative opinion of Chicago coming back, and then last night I go to dinner, and I go out a bit, and I'm just like, why are these people all assholes and negative? Like, you ever smile? Do you ever, like, enjoy life? I don't know. Maybe it's the places we hang out at. I don't know.
Might be the places you hang out with. It might be the fact that you were there the previous time when you were there on vacation, knowing that you were only going to be there a short time.
Right.
You're saying, listen, I would find out things to hate about this if I lived here, if I was here all the time. You had the point of view of a visitor when you were there, you know? Nice place to visit, maybe?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know.
Yeah, and
I
as somebody who's lived in Chicago his whole life, I'm really getting sick of this place.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why me and my girlfriend broke up is because I'm applying to jobs in L.A.
I'll give you another example, Lee. It's not even just the people. Like,
I agree with you about the people.
I'm sending Chuck text messages of signs where it's like 10 hours parking for $1. Like, they don't fucking rip you off out there. The only thing they rip you off with in L.A. is rent. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, that's all of California.
Lease is expensive. Yeah, but definitely in L.A. But I've done the math. The average rent in L.A. is only $100 more than the average rent in Chicago. So, what? I'm getting ripped off an extra $100 compared to the government doesn't rip you off in L.A. They're not trying to. Not like here. Not like Chicago.
Not like
here. Put it this way. Going from Chicago to L.A., I feel like I'm getting a break in my ass from the government bending me over.
You know, and you're exactly right on the rent. People who bitch about everything being expensive, maybe in areas in San Francisco and San Diego it's like that, but L.A. and Chicago are very similar to where if you go into the right area, it's like stupid. Maybe $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month. Yep. And then you can go a mile away and it's $1,200
a
month.
Same
for
as L.A.
Bedroom. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, if you're willing to go a little outside the popular areas, it's $1,200, $1,300.
And a little doesn't have to
our
be like...
Our two-bedroom was $1,450, whatever it was.
All big cities are generally pretty much mostly the same to me.
Yes and no, because there's so many transplants that go to L.A., it's different than any other city, maybe outside of New York.
Right. It doesn't proselytize people to be a certain way because it's all transplants. Yes, you don't grow up being a judgmental little piece of shit like you are in the Midwest.
There are a lot of transplants in Chicago, though.
Yeah, but not true. Like in L.A. where they come from everywhere. In Chicago, it's like a lot of Midwest transplants
LA
for the most part.
L.A.,
yeah,
they
right.
come from fucking
right.
Persia.
Right. Oh, I saw my Armenians at Shell.
Uh-huh.
God, they missed me.
Really?
Oh, they wouldn't shut up.
Missed you
they
so
talked
much.
My ear off for like an hour.
Oh, you'll never
they're
believe
like,
the crazy
you've been,
guy.
You've been working out. And then they asked me about my workout plan for like
what,
20 minutes.
What do you do, man? Well, how much cardio? Do you do cardio? They, like
go,
20 minutes?
Where have you been? And I go, oh, working in Chicago. They go, when you coming back? I go, soon. Are you doing
me
good business
you
without
time.
Me? Yeah, right. Oh, the Thai food's so great in L.A.
Yeah, it is great.
So fucking great.
Yeah.
You cannot get Thai food in Chicago like L.A. There's a lot of food in Chicago you can't get in L.A. But Thai food in L.A. is just like, I could eat it every fucking day.
It's really...
Right, right. The Asian food in L.A. is pretty outstanding, unless you want, like, Cantonese-style, like, greasy box big egg roll food. Right. Yeah, right.
Which
like
I love.
Egg foo young. Like, yeah, right. But if you want, like, sushi and Thai food.
Oh, yeah.
Even bad sushi in L.A. is good.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, right. There's no such thing as bad sushi in L.A. I don't have a bad thing to say about my visit there. And,
maybe.
Mind you, I worked, like... Out of 9 days, I worked my ass off like 7. I went out like 3 times.
Yeah.
Tops. So I have nothing bad to say. And I have nothing bad to say about the studios or anything. The studio I'm working with, all these horror stories you hear and stuff, and I know they exist, but like, it was such a good experience.
Oh, you signed some papers when you went to those meetings.
No,
not a bad thing to say about any of them.
No, I don't. I really don't. I came back... Yeah, right. I came back here, and, like, I went out there, and it was work, writing.
Then hey, put that fifth of Jack Daniels down. It's okay.
Then I would take a meeting, and they're like, oh, my God, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. We'd want you to come in and pitch for us. And, like, everyone wants me to come in and pitch, and everyone wants to meet me, and everyone's so nice. And I come back to Chicago, and first thing that happens is I walk through the door, and my parents are like, so what happened? Is your show getting made or no? Just what's the fucking deal? And then they're like, are you making more money or not? And I'm like, wait, this is what I come home to?
Take
I don't
out
come
the garbage.
Home to. I don't come home to. I'm proud of you. I hear I'm proud of you from my fucking dickhead friends in L.A. who I've known for like 2 years. My parents have never said they're proud of me.
Right.
Ever.
Alan Spencer says he's proud of you.
Yeah, Alan Spencer will take me out to dinner and be like, oh, Maddie, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, oh, Alan, I love you too.
Did you talk to Mike?
I talked to Binder. He's working on, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but he's working on Chuck Lorre's show,
okay.
The Mom.
All right.
Mom show. And Black and White is premiering the Costner movie. It's premiering at the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh.
Though, I looked at the Toronto Film Festival schedule, and basically every movie on the planet's premiering there. So, like, that festival literally has like 200 movies a year. How do you see any movies there is beyond me.
I don't know.
It's like a week-long festival, yet they have like 200 studio movies or like semi-studio movies that go there. It's like, how do you see any of these? How do these even get reviewed? I mean, it's ridiculous. Look at the list for the Toronto Film Festival this year, and you'd be like, first of all, they accept every movie that has a name in it. There's not like one indie movie with no names in it that I saw. Not one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of festival they are, though. But that's right up their alley, then, the Binder movie. Yeah, we should with all our
Let's
star
crash.
Power.
Yeah.
Toronto's supposed to be a great, fun town.
I'll tell you what else. I'll tell you what else. People in L.A. are genuinely excited about our movie. People in Chicago, I got to, like, call 55 times to get them on the phone to agree to do it.
Still to this day, how many get this? So I'm making a movie. Is it a porno?
Yeah, every day.
What?
Every day I get that.
What is it with that?
Let me guess. You're playing one of the gay guys, huh?
Yeah.
Faggot.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Not. Shut up. Because
everybody in Chicago
is an asshole.
Is an asshole. It is. You're right. Everyone in Chicago is an asshole. Like, people just can't be nice to each other. I don't get it. Every woman I meet at Richards is a bitch.
Yeah. Chang from like four bitch. People who are complete jag-offs to each other at all times.
You know what? I go out of my way, though, sometimes to have like, I'm going to have a different attitude. And I'll go to Gibson's one night and be the nicest guy ever. And I love Gibson's. I have a bad thing to say about Gibson's. But there'll be some women at Gibson's that'll fucking give you like the most shit you've ever gotten from a stranger in your life.
I meant between rude we
are. I know, but I'm just saying. It's like, how am I supposed to enjoy myself in this town
every time
I go out, I'm surrounded by bitterness and anger?
And you know what? A lot of people, like, and I was there once, and, you know, you don't realize how bad it is until you get out.
Right.
I remember my dad telling me stories when I was 12. He's like, he tried to explain this to me when I was 12 years old, and I didn't get it, but he was telling me when he moved to Vegas, when he was like just about like my age now, 28, 30 years old, back in the 70s, he was like, after like a month in Vegas, he was like, he didn't know, like he came back to Chicago, and he's the same thing. He's like, yeah. Everybody here sucks.
Yeah, they're so mean. I don't get it. I'm trying to build a film community here for this city, like give this city something in return for how much I love this city, and everyone's a dick.
Well, they're arrogant. They're arrogant. New Yorkers are mean. Chicagoans are arrogant.
Well, whatever it is, I don't like it. Right. And I'll tell you what, like I said, it could be a bunch of bluster in L.A. where everyone puts on a happy face and acts all nice. It could all be a song and dance.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have that than arrogance and being mean.
Well, living there, I got to say, my experience of it was very different than yours. I didn't get much time to stop and look around. I worked too much. I networked too little. And I didn't really have my ear to the ground like you did.
Yeah. Well, first of all, just so people know before we continue, in about 10 minutes, Omar Dorsey's coming on. He's going to be on Ray Donovan this year, which is probably, well, it's the only show on TV right now that I'm watching because nothing else is on over
here.
The summer.
Right.
But I watch 5 shows, and this is one of them. I would put this up there with Justified.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it is. And so far, it's looking to be a great season.
I only saw the premiere, but the premiere was outstanding.
It's terrific.
It was outstanding.
It's going to be good. Well, we'll see. But I think it's so far. Yeah, you're probably right.
So that's good news. That's good to hear. So Omar will be joining us. But back to the L.A. thing. So long story short. I have a decision to make, and I suggest you boys consider the same. When this movie's done, and whether I decide to edit it here or not, I have to decide whether I'm staying in Chicago or moving back to L.A. And my hat is leaning towards L.A. because people there want me there. And in Chicago, I don't really feel that wanted.
Well,
honestly.
Business-wise for you, it probably makes more sense to move to L.A.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't even feel that wanted by, like, outside of my friends in Chicago. Like, I don't even feel like...
Well, then maybe you're answering your own question.
No, like, I am. So my advice to you is to consider the same.
But before the movie...
Hey, I'm applying to jobs.
I mean, before the movie,
yeah.
How wanted did you feel in L.A.? You told me you couldn't get a job. And I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm not trying to convince you.
I couldn't get work because people thought I was at a certain level and wouldn't give me work at a certain level.
Right.
Okay?
But
they wouldn't give me, like, PA work.
I seem to remember a lot of conversations where nobody would talk with you.
No, it's not that no one would talk. I was hanging out all the time.
Right.
I was never home. See, I was always wanted in L.A. I was never home, but I wasn't getting paid.
Right.
If I was getting paid, I would have had the perfect life in L.A.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would have never complained ever. Let me ask you this, Lee. Outside of me not having work, was I complaining? There was nothing really to complain about.
No, I mean, there were some nights.
Not girls, but
you're just like, man, I wonder if everybody out here isn't out their goddamn mind.
That's true. They all are out of their mind.
Well, I found sometimes people are out of their minds I probably get along with better anyhow.
True.
But here's the thing. I mean, you're socializing, you're doing the events, you have the radio show, so you kind of had your whole thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was no monetary value to it.
Now there's monetary value, and now there's momentum.
Well, now you have a thing.
And now there's going to be a film.
And it's better to be in L.A. to go to L.A. when you have a thing.
Yeah, before, I have a couple things.
Well, before we didn't have a thing. We thought we had a thing.
Well, the beauty for my situation is I have a couple things. I have a script I sold, and that is probably going to get turned into a pilot episode. I have, because it went very well, I have the movie. And I've written 4 other pilots this year, and I've already taken meetings on them, and people want me to pitch them. They're, like, very excited about it. So I have, like, a lot where I can get so much done from Chicago. Basically, the only reason I'd stay in Chicago is if I felt the amount of love I get in Chicago is infinity compared to L.A. And to be honest, I go out at night, and I'm just surrounded by assholes. And I thought, you know, we always joke about how we're assholes. You know, all my friends and I. We can't be that bad. We run into people that are just brutal. Brutal.
Where are you going?
Huh?
Where are you? Where were you?
Last night I was at Richard's for a bit.
Okay, Richard's aside, because that is a...
Yeah, Richard's...
I wouldn't judge Chicago on Richard. On a Monday, though? Or on a Tuesday?
You'll never find a more Richard Hive of scum.
Yeah, but I wouldn't judge Chicago on Richard's.
Here's what I would judge Chicago on. Zebra Lounge. Okay.
I don't know.
Quiet,
fast. I don't know what it's like on a Monday.
Gibsons. Okay. Things like that.
Viagra Triangle Gibsons?
Where did I go for dinner last night? I went to Caro Mio in, is it Irving Park or Rogers Park? It's one of those. And I went to dinner there last night. Good food. Good Italian food. The people sitting, because it's one of those Italian restaurants where they sit close to each other. Every table's close to each other. Not like next to each other, but pretty close. Like Francesca's. Like Francesca's. And the people to my left were rude and awful human beings.
Uh-huh.
And the people on my right were extremely obnoxious.
Uh-huh.
It was to my right was a fat couple. And I don't even know if they were a couple because this girl did not seem interested in this guy at all. And this fat guy was eating with food in his mouth. Talking with food in his mouth the whole time. And, like, really loudly. And he's talking about, like, video games and, like, shit this girl had no fucking interest in. And I'm just eating there quietly, having my meal.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I was kind of pissed off. Then I turn to my left, and there's this fucking couple that's around my age. And this guy, the girl seemed fine, but once again, this guy was just a dick. He was talking about basically how awesome he is.
Right.
For like an hour. How much money he makes. Where he's going in life. What kind of car he drives. I had to listen to this while I'm at dinner the whole time. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know how many times I had to do this when I had, and I ate by myself almost every single meal in L.A. You know how many times I heard this? In L.A., the place where everyone's like, oh, that's where everyone goes and talks about themselves. Not once. Not once. I didn't hear it one fucking time. I went to one of the biggest power lunch joints on the planet with David Hemmingson in Beverly Hills, Il Pastillo.
Oh, yeah.
Great Italian food.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Killer. Okay. I had the halibut. It was great. The tables are literally right next to each other there. They just cafeteria style you in one of the fanciest restaurants in Beverly Hills.
I like that.
I did not hear one fucking thing the whole time I was there about the business. About how great and powerful people are.
What the fuck kind of L.A. is this? I didn't have this kind of experience.
Telling you, pal, it was nothing that I would imagine. This whole trip.
Was this entire city just putting on a show to get you there?
I don't know.
I honestly feel that way.
The only person
you,
that
you
was
posted about
power
that on
meetings,
Facebook.
The
yeah.
only person that was having power meetings out there
was, you.
Was me.
Yeah, right.
I was at the Standard. At the pool, having people rotate in and out, having meetings all week.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, looking around. Everyone's just, like, suntanning and going in the pool and having a nice time, having drinks. I'm like, am I the only asshole having meetings at the pool? I thought this was, like, the L.A. thing. I thought you're supposed to have meetings at the pool. Nope.
Yeah.
Just me. If anything, the biggest asshole in L.A. that week was me.
It was you, yeah.
And I wasn't really an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, I still think that sometimes... Our environment sees us in somewhere and assumes something. So then when we go to approach them, they're like, ah, here come those assholes.
That's a good point.
We'll be assholes
that's
right
a,
back.
That's a salient
and
point.
And then we walk over there and we're like, we're not assholes. And they're assholes. We're like, what's wrong with these assholes? Like, we got those assholes. And we're like, man, those
yeah,
people are
but
assholes.
I'm always
life
reminded.
Life is just a matter of picking assholes that you like to hang
by
around.
By the way, Omar's going to be calling in a minute. But I'm sure. always reminded by this story Mikey told me. The story about your friend
the
who
roses.
Was selling the roses.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, that's
here's what I'm always reminded by. I'm always reminded by this story. Go ahead, Mikey. You tell this story, and then we'll take Omar.
So, to make it basically, they give you the Cliff Notes version. The guy decided to kind of do a social study. And it's targeting women specifically in a couple different cities around the country. And we'll just focus on LA and Chicago in this head.
Because he went to both.
He
that's
went to
why
both,
I'm reminded
right.
by this.
And he would basically just got like bouquets of roses. And he would go to like a major park where there's lots of action. And he would just walk up to random women and be like, hey, I don't want to be a creep. I just think you're beautiful. And I'm handing out roses, so I wanted to give you one. And he would like, he video recorded all his responses. And he got pretty much like an 80% solid response in LA of people who, even if they were being fake nice, at least they were like, oh, my God, thank you. It's so nice to you. And they're on their way. In Chicago, like over 70% of the women called him a creep, told him to get out of their face, took the rose and threw it on the ground and told him he was disgusting. Like, again, are you stalking me? Like all kinds of weird shit.
Yep.
Like just totally couldn't even accept just a genuine nice, like, just gesture.
I think Omar's calling in. Omar, is this you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Omar.
Hey,
hello.
What's happening?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you doing, bro?
We're talking about the differences between L.A. and Chicago, and you're a Georgia guy, right?
Yeah, Atlanta.
What's the differences between Atlanta and L.A., man?
The price of a house.
Yeah, I would have said
that. That's a major difference. That, and, you know, and honestly, L.A. has great weather all the time. You know, in Atlanta, it can get way too hot and too sticky, or it can get way too icy. Because, you know, people in Atlanta, we don't really know how to drive in the ice. But we don't have to worry about that in L.A.
Yeah.
And everybody looks amazing in Los Angeles. Everybody's always in shape.
So you are, you love Los Angeles, though, right?
I like it a whole lot.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it. I like it a whole lot because I was just there again for 9 days. And every time I'm there, and I lived there 2.5 years, and every time I'm there, I'm just like, you know, this place ain't that bad.
You know what? It took me about 5 or 6 years to really understand that because I was out here for 5 years, and I was like, man, I want to go back home so bad. I want to go back to Atlanta so bad. And that's about 5 or 6 years. I was like, you know what? I can just get up and go in my car, and in 20 minutes I can be at the Pacific Ocean. That's pretty
cool.
More like 45 minutes.
And
come
you
on.
Can barbecue for during Christmas.
I know,
really
you barbecue during the holidays. Yeah. That's the best. And then, by the way, Omar, so let me ask you this, because we were talking about this, too. Obviously, I was talking about how one of the big changes, though, obviously, is once you start getting paid, once you start working, you get a payday out there. Did that make you appreciate Los Angeles more, too, once you became kind of a regular working actor?
You're damn right. Exactly what happened. It was like, hold on, you mean... Because it was like, you know, I was doing a bunch of commercials, and but I was still bartending and stuff like 7 years ago or something. And then I started getting on television, started getting in movies a lot. And I was like, you know what, this is pretty cool. This is all right. Even though it's still expensive out here, you know, the give and take is well worth it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, you're now on one of my favorite shows on television, Ray Donovan.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ray Donovan, and we'll get into your resume a little bit, too, because you've done a lot of interesting stuff. But Ray Donovan, for me, is just like, it's kind of noir. It's like, it's a really great show. It's a little Elmore Leonard. It's totally Los Angeles.
It is, yeah.
They nail Los Angeles, which, I mean, for a city that makes their shows there all the time, they don't always do that.
No, they cover their ass.
Right.
So let's talk about Ray Donovan. How did you get involved with this great show, and when can we expect to see your character, Cookie Brown, on the show?
Yeah, man, Ray Donovan, I agree with you 100%. It's so funny. My wife loved Ray Donovan last season. And I kept telling her, I said, it's so dark, man. I watched the first episode. I said, this is so dark. I said, it's so dark. And then, like, so she watched the whole season. And then probably about, like, a week after it ended, I think I just wanted to binge watch some. I said, let me see what my wife is watching. I started watching it, man. I couldn't stop because I do love, like, I'm a film noir fan. I'm a fan of a lot of the Sam Spade stuff and the Humphrey Bogart, you know, the Humphrey Bogart, the you know, James Cagney type stuff. And it's that. It's like L.A., like you said, it is so Los Angeles. Like, and I'm a big fan of really Los Angeles films a lot. This is the first television show I've seen like this that's so much Los Angeles. I was thinking about that the other day. We were filming in, like, Hawthorne in the hood. And I was like, man. We go from Malibu all the way to the hood. This is the quintessential Los
Angeles. Oh, did we lose him?
Great interview. Okay, listen.
I'm always losing people.
So Ray Donovan on Showtime.
Yes.
I think
that airs Sunday nights.
It says he's still on, too.
They're calling back into a live show.
No, it's not us.
Really?
No. It just disconnected the
Omar,
call.
Omar, buddy.
It just disconnected the call.
I don't know. Maybe his phone died.
Yeah.
Well, what he was talking about with Ray Donovan, and hopefully we'll get right back with him. Okay, we're not. That totally died. It dropped. Sometimes when people call from cell phones, they drop is what happens. But anyways, he was talking about Ray Donovan, and I'm sure he'll call back. But for me, it's like there's a little Get Shorty in it. Like
there is, and that I'll tell you, he kind of it didn't occur to me that it was a noir type of show until you said that.
Yeah.
Because a boxing gym is such a noir location.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I love that.
Hold on. He's calling back in. Hey, sorry, Omar. I think we got dropped there. We were just talking more about the whole noir aspect of
fucking
the show.
Fucking Verizon.
Right. Yeah, like that's what I was just saying. Like, it's, and like I was saying, I'm always been a fan of the film noir genre. You know, so that just really like spoke to me. And like when you were saying about just being so Los Angeles too. I don't know if you heard when I was saying we were shooting in Hawthorne in the middle of the hood.
Yeah.
But then later on in the episode, we're in Malibu. He lives in deep in the valley in Calabasas. He works in Beverly Hills. You know, he does a lot of work in Hollywood. So it's like, if a person who doesn't know L.A., that is exactly what L.A. is. That spread out. But there are different types of, it's not just Los Angeles. So nobody really goes downtown L.A. unless you go watch a basketball game.
Right.
But what L.A. really is all of those little, those other cities, Beverly Hills and Malibu or Compton I live in the Valley, in the Valley, you know, that's really that's L.A. And the show really shows that life, man. And that's, I'm a big fan of it. As far as when Cookie comes, Cookie starts in episode 5, man. He comes. Starts terrorizing the earth, man.
How'd you get the role, Omar? Did they offer it to you, or did you have to go in for this one?
No, you know what? I think I might have been doing Rake or something. And I couldn't go in and meet with the director. I couldn't go in and meet with the producers, Ann Biederman and Cheo Coker and Brad Z. I couldn't meet with all those guys. So I sent in a tape. I sent in a tape, and they called back, and they were like, they love the tape, they love what I did with the character, it's just different, something that was totally different. But it was funny, it wasn't scary. And I was like, okay, cool. So, they offered me the role after they saw my tape.
So they just casted you, and then what I'm curious about, I don't know how much you can talk about, that's why I have stall for a second, is... can you at least tell us what characters your character interacts with? Do you interact with everybody on this show?
We know you can't give away too much.
Yeah, right.
People are sworn to secrecy on these shows.
But who can we expect to see?
Yeah, you're really sworn to secrecy. But like, man, I work with Leah. I work with Ray a lot.
Okay.
A lot. I work with Marvin and Recon. I work with Elliot.
Oh, wow. Cool. Elliot Gould on the show.
Oh, that's great.
All right, now that I'm
in. Elliot Gould is a beast. I work with, I forgot my man's name. Oh, the guy who plays the lawyer.
Did you get to work with John Voight at all?
No, but I'm with him all the time. I'm always with him on set, so we always hanging out.
Oh,
I didn't get to work with him.
He's a
cool
guy.
I work with Kiris. She plays a daughter.
Okay.
I work with her a lot, and I work with Leah's wife a lot also.
Okay, so if anyone that's watching the show is listening to this interview, you have a good idea where your character is ending up.
Right.
We have a good idea where you're going to be involved in the storyline this year.
And we got a little bit of goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. This is it's really gonna be it's gonna be very fun, man. Like it really is, because it's like he's gonna be a character that you either love him when he comes on the screen, but you're gonna hate his guts. You know what I'm saying? But everybody on the whole show is hateful. You know what I'm saying? They're all kind of warts, and everybody has all these flaws. That's what I really love about the show a lot.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just love this show. I love that they've added so many characters this year. They're really building this universe that this show is in. So it's really cool. Now, you did Rake last year with a buddy of mine, Peter Tolan.
That's my boy, man. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a Greg Kinnear show. Like, what do you think happened with Rake that it just didn't take?
You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Australian version of Rake. Or
no,
if you're familiar with it. It's really gritty and grimy. He's so grimy. It's like Californication mixed with Ray Donovan mixed with The Shield. It's on a cable network. And the way that, you know, that we had to do it because we, you know, we were on Fox, we really couldn't go a lot of places with it. He couldn't be snorting cocaine off of strippers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh,
like, that's the difference between the Australian version of the show and the American version of the show. Now, I think Greg Kinnear murdered that role. You know,
he's terrific.
And also, I mean, I don't know, like, you know, it was sort of hard with us because we had we were mid-season, too.
Yeah, and they put you on Friday.
And that's really good stuff. Like, you know, we really could have, you know, brought in, I think we would have been a fall show. You know, we would have brought the viewers in. Everybody who watched the show, I got a lot of Twitter followers from it, and they all loved it. You know,
yeah.
And all my friends and family, and you know, they all liked where the show was going. By the time it got to the end, man,
Friday night. That's when Friday nights is when we're usually out doing coke with strippers.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Friday night,
yeah.
All the degenerates that would love this show are out.
Yeah.
exactly. So that's, you know, what was wild is like when I knew it, because, you know, we were on Thursday originally. We went to Friday. I was like, oh, no. Because, you know, I already knew. I was like, this is going to be the kiss of death, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had a ball doing that show.
It kind of was. Now, Omar, who discovered you as a comedian, brother? Because you're on Eastbound and Down, and you're fantastic on Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
And you know, I've seen you in little bits and pieces like Starsky and Hutch and stuff. But who's the guy you think that said to you, okay, Omar's got the goods to be fucking funny?
You know what, man? It was Todd Phillips. You know, it was Todd.
Yeah.
And because I did three movies with him, and almost back-to-back-to-back. And then, like, I missed out on the freaking Hangover because I was doing a shitty Lifetime movie. You know what I'm saying?
Were you supposed to do the Hangover?
Yeah, I was supposed to be in the Hangover. And they shouted me out, too. Like, I don't know if you remember when Mike Tyson and my boy Gerard Birch, he played his bodyguard. When they found a tiger, and the tiger was like, you don't want to end up like Omar. Yeah, I said something like, you told one of the guys, don't pet the tiger, but you'll end up like Omar. And then, what happened to Omar? I said, we're going to talk about Omar right now. I was so pissed I couldn't do it because I was in Atlanta doing a crappy Lifetime movie.
What an amazing thing to say. I was going to be in The Hangover, but I was doing a crappy Lifetime movie.
Luckily, it all worked out.
Luckily, it worked out.
God, you were abusive husband number 8 on Lifetime.
I know, right? No, I think I was, like, in prison. I was the bad guy in prison. There was a guy who was wrongfully accused of something, and I was, like, his nemesis when he was in jail. I was like, man, can I get out of this? But I had already signed in to do the movie, so it was all good, man. But Todd, man, he gave me the ball in because he put me in my first movie, period. He put me in Road Trip. That was the first movie I ever did in 99. And, like, I was doing sketch comedy and improv in Atlanta, and I auditioned for that role, and, you know, they just gave it to me. But that is running down, man. They, like, that, well, the thing about that I've never did, I had never done before, was doing the sketch comedy stuff that I was used to doing, the improv stuff, and we would just fly with it, man. You know what I'm saying? You up there with John Reap and Kim Marino and Danny McBride, you know, and Michael Beasley and these cats, man. Like, you know, we're just up there having fun the whole time.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast.
It's like the first thing you did where work started to feel like fun.
Yeah, is Eastbound and Down, like, as fun of a show as it is, like, it comes off as, like, it's just funny to do?
Yeah.
Because you do a lot of improv on Eastbound, right?
Yeah, oh, it's a lot. You know what? They do so much improv. Like, you got to be on your toes because you're working with Ken Marino and Danny McBride. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get left real quick. They can go on a tangent and do 30 minutes. And a lot of the stuff that we were doing was in front of a live studio audience anyway. We were doing the sports set stuff. It's 200 people there. I love that. I can go up there and do a whole routine, you know. So, man, it's that much fun. It really is. And, like, and the fact that we're all in backwoods North Carolina shooting that, and all we have is each other, like, we become a family. You know what I'm saying? So we all go out together. And it's a big sausage fest on that set. So we all just having fun, just farting and burping all the time anyway when we go out. So it's just that took it to a whole other level for me, man. People really took notice, you know, to all the comedy stuff after that, even though I haven't done any comedy since then. But, you know, I got a lot of love off of that, off of Eastbound last season, man.
Here's a random question for you. Is Angie Harmon the hottest broad you've ever worked with in your life?
Man, she's up there, bro. I ain't even lying, man. Like, she is so, and you know what? And she's like, because she's married to Seahorn. Like,
yeah, right.
Right. When it comes to, like, football and stuff. And, like, yo, man, she's a bad chick for real. Like,
I know. I've seen her even when she's on Fox News.
I work with Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side, too, though. She was pretty bad, too.
I could watch the worst. Angie Harmon could do your Lifetime movie, and I'd watch it. I mean.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And she was so sweet to me, too, man. I love working with her. We had a good time together, man.
That's the reason you watch Baywatch Nights.
Right? Yeah. Right. Oh, was she on Baywatch Nights? Yeah.
Don't ask me why I know that.
Oh, my God. Because you love Angie.
Was she really on that? I never even knew that. I thought she just popped up in, like, Law and Order.
Baywatch Nights.
See, Chuck knows her whole resume. He's like Angie Harmon, yes. Yeah, Baywatch Nights.
She was on Banjo.
Restraining order number 5.
Right. 500 feet.
So let me ask you. So you got Ray Donovan, and you did Rake last year. Now Battle Creek. Are you a regular on that show, the Vince Gilligan show?
I'm not. Right? I'm recurring on there, but you know, it's that's going to be a hit show though, bro.
Yeah.
I think so because it's Vince Gilligan. It's the show he's doing after Breaking Bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be. Going to be more heavily scrutinized since he had such a hit with Breaking Bad.
Right.
Were you able to talk with him, to meet him, to get a sense of
what
he
was? No, what's so crazy? He wasn't even around because, you know what, I think he was prepping Better Call Saul at the same time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, man. I was working with, Bryan Singer the whole time. Bryan Singer directed it. So I worked with him the whole time, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think... I think that show is going to be fascinating because of Vince Gilligan, but he's on CBS. It's a network show. Is this a totally different show than Breaking Bad?
It's a totally different show. It's a network, procedural show. You know, Breaking Bad was a universe, like Ray Donovan, like The Wire or something like that. Those are universes. Like, you know, it's day-to-day stuff. It's not about the case. It's about that person's life and the things that go on in that person's life. Even on, like, The Shield, they did a whole season about one crime, the money train. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you did 13 episodes about one crime. So it's not like that. It's a procedural. But it's a Vince Gilligan take on a procedural. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So... let me ask you this. We got a fan question. How did you end up working with Tarantino and Django?
Dude, dig this, man. Tarantino. All right, I got a good story. Okay, so
okay.
I was in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta. It was before my daughters moved out here with me to L.A. And I was in Atlanta visiting my daughters. And I had an audition. Quentin Tarantino was my favorite director on the planet, always has been. Since I saw Reservoir Dogs, always been my favorite writer since I saw Natural Born Killers. I mean, I think Reservoir Dogs is when he's my favorite director, and Natural Born Killers is when he's my favorite writer. So I was always like, my dream is like to work on something that he writes and directs.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction is the greatest film of all time. Okay, with that being said, I'm in Atlanta. My agent calls me and is like, yo, I have an audition for you. But Django, I was like, oh, yes, I've been waiting on this audition. Yeah, well, it's tomorrow. Like, I'm in Atlanta with my kids, man. Like, you don't want to audition for a Tarantino movie? Nah. Yeah, I do want to audition for a Tarantino movie, but I'd rather be with my kids right now. And he's like, this might not come back around. I say, if it comes back around, it's meant to be. If it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
Fast
wow.
forward. I come back about a week, 2 weeks later. They said they weren't able to find the actors who they needed, so they called me to come in. I auditioned for the director, auditioned for the casting director. I got a call back with Tarantino. I'm in the bathroom. I walk, washing my hands. Tarantino walks in the bathroom. Omar Dorsey. I was like, Tarantino knows my name? He said, how you doing, Omar? I was like, I'm doing good, Quentin. He's like, all right, okay, I'm good. I'm glad. Okay, glad you came. Glad you were able to make it. So I walk in. I meet with him, audition for him, and then I get a call about a week later and say, like, all right, Quentin wants to meet you one more time. I come in, he's like, just take a seat, man. He said, so you're my guy. Just want to talk to you. We sat and talked for like 30, 40 minutes, offered me the role right then and there, man.
Wow.
Like, the rest is history. And that was the movie. You look on my resume, that's the movie that changed everything for me.
I was going to ask you if that's how you feel about it. And also, the fact that you're a good father, and then karma kind of comes back your way. I mean, you got to feel that way about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I just felt like I was doing the right thing, man. But, I never even thought about it. Like, I was like, man, it was just meant to be. The universe lines.
Not one Hail Mary? Nothing? No Hail Mary? No Our Father? Nothing?
Yeah, I know, man. Like, goodness gracious, bro. Now, that was
what do you think?
From the first day of walking onto that set, man,
you know,
like,
how
my whole life changed the second I walked on that set, man.
Omar, you know how weird Quentin is, though, where he's seen, like, everything? And like, I'm wondering if he saw you in, like, Ninja Cheerleaders or something. Yeah. And
he saw me in a movie called The Setup. It's a movie called The Setup. And he talked to me for 30 minutes about that movie. It's a 50 Cent movie.
It's a 50 Cent Bruce Willis movie.
I've
seen it. It's Bruce Willis and 50 Cent.
And 50.
Yeah, and 50.
Yeah, and you remember, I was like, remember the guy, remember 50 Cent and Randy Couture come to my house, and Randy Couture blows his head off, and I'm like wilding out and wigging out and stuff. but, like, he talked about that. He was talking about how funny I was, and I was like, dude, I was just channeling, like, Sam Jackson in that role, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, but he's seen everything, all the little obscure things you think that you don't know about, he saw it.
Good.
Yeah. Well, that boy, if I had gotten the original call, not the one that came a week later, but the original call, I'd have been like, listen, kids, there's some saltines and peanut butter and some Dr. Peppers on the table you can eat. I got to do something. I'll see you later. All right, you'll be all right.
No, I couldn't do that, man. Because this was before my kids moved out to L.A. with me. So, like, I haven't seen my kids in, like, 3 months or something, man. And I was like, I'm chilling, man.
So
this was, like, right before they moved out, man. So
Now, talk to me about Selma. This is a documentary. I mean, not a documentary. I'm sorry. This is a film that you're doing. It's a biography on Martin Luther King. Correct. Tell me what this film's about. I'm not too sure.
Well, it's about the Selma March. The Selma March was the march that that brought in the Voters' Rights Act of 1965.
Okay.
So it's the movie about that, and Martin Luther King, of course, was the leader of that march. What the story talks about is what the story is about is about King and Lyndon Baines Johnson, and about King and his men. I'm one of the Kingsmen. I'm one of the civil rights leaders. I play Reverend James Orange. Man, this is the most important role I've ever played, man. And it's the most pride I've ever had playing a role. It's shot in Atlanta, in my hometown. But the fact that, like, I worked a lot with a lot of those civil rights leaders when I was coming up. I worked with the Hosea Williams Feed the Hungry campaign. And Hosea Williams was the person, he and John Lewis were the two men who were beaten on the bridge, on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. So I worked I worked with Hosea Williams. So this movie just means so much. And this, man, it comes out Christmas Day of this year.
Yeah,
and it's
Well, let me just read some of this. I just want to point out some of this cast so people know what you're dealing with. I mean, this is how great this movie is. You got Cuba Gooding Jr., who's amazing all the time, even in crap, even like Snow Dogs. He's great.
Boat Trip.
Yeah, whatever he's in. Boat Trip.
Boat Dogs.
I love Cuba, okay?
Snowboat.
Do you have any scenes with our pal Common? Common's a buddy of ours. Did you do any scenes with him?
Common was in our pilot.
Tom Wilkinson?
He's the best.
He's on Tom Wilkinson?
Yeah, Tom Wilkinson, yeah.
Oh, no, because he has his, all his scenes are with Kane. It's when Kane is with us, and then he'll have, like, when he pops up into the White House. Because Tom Wilkinson plays Lyndon Johnson. So
right.
It's like then he's relaying Thomas stuff to, Kane is relaying our grievances to Lyndon Johnson. So, unfortunately, I didn't have anything with me. That's like the week I didn't work, because I worked damn near every day on that movie, man.
Did you work with one of my favorite actors of all time, Wendell Pierce?
Yes.
Are you laughing?
Are you laughing
at my Wendell Pierce love?
No, listen,
Ray Donovan too, right?
Bro, yeah, Wendell's on Ray Donovan this
I gotta
year.
Say, that was like a curveball when I saw him in that episode on Sunday. Like, Wendell's on this show?
Dude,
I
Wendell Pierce
just got
is
real.
One of my favorite actors of all time.
He's
I
great.
Love him.
No,
love
he
him.
Is one of them. No, I think I'm Wendell Pierce Jr. Like, we did a movie together, like, a few, like, 7 years ago that ain't never coming out. But, like, we had scenes together, first time I ever met him. And, like, he was like, dude, you're, like, mirroring me right now. You need to stop acting the way I act. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry, man, but my whole style is like your style. But, like, the thing is, so, like, you know, like, no, all of my scenes, are, you know, we're on all our scenes together in Selma. Like, because he's a part of the Kingsman. He plays Jose Williams, which is the man who I used to work for in Atlanta. So Wendell and I both are doing Ray Donovan and Selma at the same time. So we're jumping from airplane, we're jumping from Atlanta to L.A. like once a week, every week. So, like, nah, man, Wendell is my dude. I love Wendell, man.
But you guys are okay with that. You guys are okay flying to Atlanta once a week for Oprah, right? Oprah's okay.
Yeah, no, I was flying to L.A. once a week. Oprah's a bomb, man. I love Oprah.
I
love her.
Says Oprah, you know Oprah now. So that's kind of like...
Oprah calls me Big O. I call her Little O.
Oh, no.
No,
she calls you Big O.
That's how Jenkins is getting right now, fellas. Oprah calls me Big O. I call her Little O.
Oh, you are so lucky. Is Oprah in the film, or
dude,
is she just...
Dig this. All right, so I'm like, we're both in makeup chair beside each other, and she's in the makeup chair trying to buy the Clippers for $1.6 billion. While we're in the makeup chair, she said, "Omar, I think I'm about to get the team. Well, the guy from the guy from Microsoft or whatever got it. So the
right.
next day she comes to set, and she comes to set the next day acting like she's crying. No, Omar, they didn't want to sell me the team. Oh no, she comes falls in my arm. I'm like, it's okay, little O. Oh man, yeah, open my door.
Are you serious?
Not trying to brag or anything, but just so y'all know.
Are you seriously sitting in the makeup chair, though, and you just hear Oprah going, yeah, $1.6 billion. Yeah, that's right, $1.6
billion. Yeah, but she's, like, whispering it, like, but, you know, I'm here hustling the whole time. And then I'm like, I said, y'all trying to get the team? She's like, yeah, I think we're going to get it, too, Omar. I think we're going to get it. So I was like, oh, man. So I'm telling, I got inside information. I'm telling all my homeboys back in L.A.,
man,
we're about to get the team. We're about to get free tickets. All that stuff, man.
You're like, which players you gonna get, little O? And she's like, no, the whole team.
Yeah, the whole team.
Wait till I tell Wendell.
I was bugging. I was like, man, this is like that. It's one of those moments in life that it just becomes a little too surreal. It's just sitting beside a billionaire. You know what I'm saying? And you're doing a movie with her, but she's in the, you know, she's the producer of the movie, but she's also in the movie too.
Okay,
and I got things with Oprah, man. My whole life, it's weird right now.
So, you know, but this is just a great cast. It's Tim Roth, it's Giovanni Ribisi, Tom Wilkinson, Alessandro Nivola, Common, yourself, Dave Liolo.
Yes.
I mean, Niecy Nash is in it. I mean, there's
Niecy is a girl, yeah. Yo, man, it's a great cast.
Is Niecy as good of an actress as she is a comedian?
Yo, I think she's a better actress than she is a comedian.
Really?
Have you ever watched the show? You said what now?
Oh, Keith Stanfield's in this movie. Keith Stanfield was in a movie, Short Term 12, last year, and we had him on the show. Right. And I told Keith Stanfield, I said, brother, you are going to be a huge fucking star. I told him. And he,
have
I
you
got
seen
to
The Purge yet? Have you seen the new, have you seen The New Purge?
Is that,
no, I didn't see The New Purge yet that, with my pal Frank Grillo.
Purge 3 or
I didn't
2?
Even,
yeah,
no,
Frank was
Purge
in that, but Lakeith was in that too, man.
Yeah, and I didn't have time to see it. I was supposed to see Grillo when I was in L.A. yesterday, but he's working 16 hours a day, and so was I, and we never got around to it. But Keith, I told him, I'm like, bro, you're going to be a huge star. You don't even know it. And he did not know it at all.
No.
Like, he was so humble.
He doesn't know it at all,
and that was
man.
One of the best
like,
movies that year.
Right.
You know, because he's like a little brother to me. He's like
yeah.
a little brother, so it's like, I'm like man, because, you know, he raps, too.
Yeah,
he
goes, I'm just going to go home and do some raps. And I'm like, dude, get in another fucking movie right now.
Yeah.
Don't go home
yeah,
and rap.
Yeah.
Don't rap, Keith.
And he plays, and he's really good in this movie. Him and Oprah, got, he and Oprah have some scenes in this movie, man.
He
has he's going to make you cry in this film. He's going to make you cry in this film.
So somebody that we interview at a pizza joint
right.
for a low-budget movie.
Right.
All right, last year that we liked, that a lot of people saw, but that a lot
now,
of too
should,
few people still didn't see.
I should be bragging, though,
he's
about
doing
how
scenes with Oprah
I'm,
next year.
But I should be bragging, though, about how I'm Nostradamus,
yeah.
and I'm telling this guy he's going to be the biggest deal ever. But then, you know, I was expecting he'd do a movie with, like, you know, like Chevy Chase or something. Not Oprah!
Yeah.
Oprah! Oh, come on.
No, nah, he's doing the real deal, he's cold. And he was so good in, because I just watched The Purge the other day, because one of the other people who were in it, Carmine Jogo, she plays Coretta Scott King in Selma. So I knew her and that whole Purge, I was like, yeah, okay, it's a lot of good people in this movie. Like I said, Frank Grillo was in that. He's a lead of it, man.
He's the best.
Like,
yeah,
man.
Frank
needs
to get on breakdown. Where's he? He could play Liev's, like, villain care. Like, I could see Liev Schreiber versus Frank Grillo. I could watch that all day.
I could see Liev Schreiber.
Oh, that would be dope. Yeah.
Right.
Frank Grillo on that Marvel thing right now, though, man. Frank ain't going to television no time, so.
No, he's the best. And then Dylan Baker's in this movie,
we
too, who I love.
Yeah,
is Dylan Baker.
Is great,
I got to tell
man,
you. When
it's a mean cast, man.
Right.
Common,
when
you guys know Common.
Together, she gets a few people.
Yeah.
When you get a call from Oprah, I think you're in. I read this
you
story.
Said what now?
I think when you get a call from Oprah, you're in. I read a story today. Jimmy Woods found out that Marty Scorsese was just interested in him for Casino. And Jimmy Woods sent a letter to Marty Scorsese's office that said, anytime, anywhere, any price, any movie. And that's all he said. And then Marty put him in a Casino.
Right.
And I'm like, I think it's the same when Oprah calls. When Oprah calls, you're like, anytime, anywhere, any price, any movie.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Oprah and Brad Pitt both, man. Like, that is a producing team right there, man. Like,
oh,
those
two. Brad's a part of this, too? Motherfucker. Oh, my God.
No, but he's a producer. Right?
Now I'm
producer.
Just jealous.
See, that kind of thing tells me I don't have a chance.
Yeah, now I'm just getting jealous.
Man, well, it's been a great summer. Hope the summer don't end.
Brother, you're no. You're just going to have a better year next year.
You're killing it.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I feel
you're
it, man.
Just,
I feel it.
Have
no,
a better
really
better
good
year.
Projects, though.
Is there any?
These projects are so good. And you know what I really like about both projects is, like, the two roles are so diametrically opposed to each other. You know what I'm saying? One dude is insane. The other guy's a civil rights leader. You know what I'm saying? So,
No, you're getting a lot of diverse roles right now. What did you get? Anything? Are you offered anything over the summer that you can talk about? Anything new that's not on the resume that I can see?
I'm thinking I something. I have two offers out right now. I don't know. I don't like either one of them.
Oh, you don't like either one of them. I like that. Yeah, I don't like them. So we know it's not Marty.
Yeah, I don't like them.
You're Oprah.
Like,
We know it's not
Oprah. I really want to wait until Raydon comes out, too, for people to actually see, like, you know, because this
That's
is totally different than what I did in Rake, and it's different than what I did in Eastbound, too. So,
well,
you
this is part of the game, though. This is part of the game. You wait for all your Ray Donovan eps to come out, so then your quote goes up a little bit, and everyone sees how good you are.
Yeah.
But then it's like, do you take anything before Selma? Because Selma, that's probably going to be an Oscar nominee.
I'm quite sure, man. I mean, from your lips to God's ears, man. But these, I mean, man, we put in some serious work. And David Oyelowo, oh, man, he is so good as Dr. King. He is so good. And the whole cast, man, like all the guys we named, even we have Coleman Domingo, we have like Common, we have just everybody, man. Andre Holland, Trey Byers, all these great actors.
Well, I didn't know Holland's in it too. Andre Holland's great. He's great.
Andre Holland is amazing. I'm waiting to see that new show he has on. What was it called, Nick?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, what's he in right now? Yeah, that's what it is. And I just saw him in another movie, too, that's not coming out for a while, but he's fucking outstanding.
He has this calmness about him. He has this stillness about his
Yeah,
acting.
The Nick. With,
energy, frenetic energy. He's so still. I'm jealous
of
that.
So
good.
He did my friend Mike Binder's film, Black and White, and it comes
that's
out.
That's what the Mackie's in, too, right?
Yeah, with Costner and Octavia Spencer, and I've seen it. And he's so good in this movie. I hate to say that he steals it from Costner because Costner's that amazing, but, like, he may steal it from Costner. That's how good he is in this movie. And Andre Holland, he's just an outstanding actor. Outstanding.
Man,
that's the guy that
I'll tell you what. The people who are in this film, especially, I mean, like, the people who play the people around Kane. Man, like, it's like everybody is that one step away from being, like, the new black people in Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Like, Andre Holland, Coleman Domingo, even David Oyelowo. He's so black. I think he's just brilliant in this, man. Like, Wendell, Corey Reynolds, all these people are just, it's just, you know, we were all there. We felt the energy, too, because it's a different type of black film. And it's not The Help. And it's not The Blind Side. I'm in The Blind Side. It's not like anybody who needs anything from anybody. It's people who are actually fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
It's
a different type of film,
Yeah, you could sell it as a black film, but I'll tell you something. This is one of the best casts I've seen in a movie all year. Forget black, white.
It's an American film. It's about America. And it's about like the better part, the better angels. Isn't that what... President Lincoln said, you know, like, the better angels and the things that happened to make this country into what it is now and to make it a better nation for all, man. And this is an amazing film. I keep saying, it's the most pride I've ever had going to set every day. It's a great wig, but with a hot wig on every day.
Did you get to meet Brad Pitt or was he busy?
No, Brad didn't come, but Brad's people were there.
That's all right. It's still the summer of Omar.
Yeah,
you didn't
still
meet
the
Brad.
Summer of Omar. You'll meet him at the premiere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll kick him. I'm going to kick him too.
Brad doesn't miss the premiere. Brad doesn't miss the premiere.
I know that. I know. Yeah.
So, hey, Omar, brother, congratulations on all the success, man. Django and fucking... You got Ray Donovan right now, which is one of my favorite shows on TV. I was just telling Chucky that and Justified are like my top two. Maybe The Good Wife's in there,
too. Oh, man, I love some damn Justified, man.
Oh,
hey, you guys ever talked to Walton Goggins?
Yeah, I've had Walton on. Great.
We've talked to everybody on that show
except Tim.
Except Oliphant and except Graham Yost.
Yeah, and Graham. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but everyone
that's
else.
That's one of my favorite shows, too. Yeah.
Oh, that's my jam, that show.
No,
and,
but Ray is up there with that. And I think it has the potential for a lot of longevity and a good following. And
The Good Wife. The Good Wife's amazing, too. Those
Good
are
Wife, you know what? And that's the show.
You're a big Good Wife
fan.
The
network show that, like, bucks everything. You know what I'm saying?
It is. And they just signed Taye Diggs, so I'm, like, even more in love. Taye Diggs is my guy. So
I
now,
didn't know that. Okay, for sure.
Oh, my. Okay, I am the white guy that saw The Best Man Holiday. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I was there opening
weekend.
The
one guy, yeah.
I was there Thursday night.
Yeah.
It had to be
I was at the midnight show. I'm like,
11:59. He had his Tay Diggs T-shirt on.
Well, am I? Half Tay Diggs, half Morris
Chestnut on the back.
It's a Tay Morris.
It's a Tay Morris.
No, it's like
team,
one, yeah, one side of their face.
I have a Team Tay Diggs and a Team Morris Chestnut shirt. Those are my shirts.
That is a weird shirt for
I saw it the first day, too. I ain't going to even lie.
Well, Omar, it was great having you on, brother. Is there anything else you need to promote?
Man, that's about it, bro. I think that's enough. That's about it right there.
Ray Donovan.
We'll talk about it next time I come on the show.
I'd love to have you on again, man. I'll have you in for Selma. Come on for Selma.
Listen
we'll
to this guy.
We'll
bragging.
Pretend to talk.
Yeah, next time I'll talk about
We'll pretend to talk about Selma,
about
and we'll just bullshit for another hour.
Man,
it'll be fun.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Omar. All right,
guys.
Thanks, Omar.
All right, gentlemen.
Is he still there?
I don't know that we lose him.
Thing where like
so we did actually hang up on Omar.
Yeah, so we're gonna do that thing where he calls back and then we say goodbye. And
Omar
then we
was
hang
just
up.
Blowing us too. He
I know.
Like, hey, I'm coming
listen,
back
this
on.
This is the
we're
best show I ever
again.
Did. You guys are great. Whoops! I've been bought by Oprah.
You know what's funny? I've hung up on guests. I didn't even hang up on Omar. I've hung up on guests before, like during the middle of the blowjob.
Yeah, it's great.
Like it's like a bad blowjob or something. You're like, I'm good.
No blowjob is a bad blowjob.
On this show, we give plenty of bad blowjobs. Job, Charles.
Yeah.
Man, talk about a guy that's taken off. We get a lot of those people coming on the show.
Yeah.
I feel like the next generation of like great actors comes on our show and then forget about us like a year later once
right.
they really take off.
If you're
you
really
barista at Starbucks,
well, let me tell you my
on our show.
Let me tell you my Grillo story, okay?
If you're coming up, do this show, you will be famous in a year.
I give you my Grillo story. I had Grillo on the show multiple times. Love him. And he'll do the show again.
Love him.
But let me tell you how difficult it is now to get time out of Frank because he's so busy.
Yeah.
He's got this new show he's doing with Nick Jonas or something for DirecTV. It's an MMA show. He's filming like 16 hours a day. Okay. He's got like 28 movies he's doing, all those Marvel fucking movies that I got in trouble for yapping about. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, so like last week, Frank and I were like, all right, when are we going to get together? Monday. And I'm like, nope, I'm booked. Tuesday, nope, he's booked. Wednesday, he's booked. I'm booked. We had no time to get together. And I'm like, you're fucking swamped, Frank. And I don't know if he's bullshitting or not, but he's swamped. He's swamped. So we'll probably do a phone-in with Frank soon. And then
probably out-promoting Purge, too.
He was. I should call him, like, next week.
But he's like that
kind
of guest we've got to check in with him regularly just to
well,
see what
and,
he's up
but
to.
My point
he's
being is, like Omar, where Frank was lifting off and we noticed.
Yeah.
And we're like, you're amazing. We hated Warrior, but he was great in it.
Yeah.
We loved The Gray, and he's great in it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Frank, we know you're going to be a big deal. And Frank really appreciated it. He wanted to keep doing the show. And it's guys like that. And Omar and Keith Stanfield's great. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was fantastic in Captain America, too.
Yeah, he was. He's really good in it.
And after seeing that movie, what was the movie that he did with the British guy who used to be in rugby, he's got the bald head, kind of does the martial arts. I love him, too. The Transporter, what's his name?
Frank did a... Oh, Homeland.
Yeah, right.
With Statham.
Yeah, seeing him in that movie as a bad guy, he's got so much good screen charisma.
Well, if you want...
I want to see The Purge.
If you want range on this brother... Oh, and I heard the second Purge is better than the first. So if you didn't like the first...
The first one sucked.
Wasn't into it.
See, I liked the first one.
Wasn't into it.
I told you I didn't love it, but I liked it.
I hated it.
I love Ethan
Hawke. It was
Hawk.
A hit.
I'm a sucker for Ethan
Hawke. Yeah, I am...
And I met him.
He's
Did
great.
I tell you I met Linklater and Ethan Hawke on my trip?
I know you guys were in a hot tub together, whatever kind of shit you said.
Ethan?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't in real life. He was a cool fucking dude.
Really?
Oh, in Purge?
A lot of his characters in movies.
Well, that's why I like
about... Listen, I'm just waiting for... He's like the guy that's just going to sit down and start whining.
But that's why I liked about
he's
the
a
first
guy,
Purge.
Yes.
If he didn't play the dad who's going to... You know he's going to save the day. And
okay.
By the way, he doesn't. He's kind of a whiny bitch.
Listen, but that's... Okay, I
like
Training
Day, he was a whiny bitch.
I like that. Yeah, but like I like him. He's very skilled, but I think a lot of his output is capital A acting.
Oh, yeah, no. But
yes.
Can I tell you this? He's like that in real life.
Okay.
I think that's just him.
I believe that.
I think he's actually acting in real life.
Yeah, no, they've
blended together.
He's a consummate over-actor, but that's not a bad thing, like Nicolas Cage. Well, you have to get the right role.
What I was going to tell you about Frank is, Homefront, you want a good idea of Frank's range. Mary and Martha is this movie did with Hilary Swank on HBO, and if you could sit through a drama with Hilary Swank, he's really good in it. And then you get a great idea of him in Homefront. He's a bad guy, Captain America 2. He kind of has two kinds of range. He has real range in the movie because he goes from being maybe a good guy to a bad guy.
That's it.
We're not really ruining anything.
They turn into a real bad guy.
How great is he in End of Watch?
He's good, yeah.
You didn't like Captain America 2?
Yeah, he's very good on End of Watch.
No,
Captain America 2 is terrible.
Coming from Man of Steel lover?
I haven't seen either of the Captain America movies.
We like Spider-Man.
Just so they could spar, I'm going to give Mikey my microphone, and Chucky can have his.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of these things, so
we like Spider-Man, and nobody likes Spider-Man. We watched it. We didn't really like the whole Electro thing, although I'm sure Jamie Foxx did the best job he could do. But then we get out of this movie, we're like, oh, it's great, and then we read all the bad reviews. I didn't understand that at all. Did you like Spider-Man 2, Chuck?
I didn't see it, because I didn't like the first one.
He's really failing at a friend right now.
What?
Give that. Listen, we need to really talk about this. Manny.
Yeah, this is bothering me. So, you love Man of Steel.
Yes.
By the way, I was with my lawyer on Monday.
Why and is his microphone all wet? Were you spitting all over it?
He was warming it up for you, lubing it up so you could shove it up your ass for loving Man of Steel, pal. So I'm with my lawyer, and he goes, yeah, you know how Mark Webb's a good friend of mine? And I'm like,
uh-huh.
Webb's a good friend of yours. So, Danny, when are you going to have me and Mark in the same room so we can hang out and talk some Spider-Man because it's fucking awesome?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Spider-Man 2, maybe better than 1.
It was better than 1.
Wouldn't take much.
So you didn't like Captain America 2, which I thought was the best Marvel movie in, like, since maybe Iron Man. Why?
I don't really remember that much of the movie. I just thought, like, I didn't buy the villain. I thought it was stupid.
You didn't buy Robert Redford?
No, the Winter Soldier guy. I was just bored with that whole
Bucky
story.
Bucky Barnes?
Yeah, I was bored with it. I just thought it was stupid.
That's
his origin. That's what he's supposed to
do. That's the core storyline.
I know.
Of, like, all
I realize
of...
that. I just didn't like that part of the movie. I thought it was boring. Like, the whole, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. gets, and everyone turns on them, and they got,
all right,
and stupid.
Listen.
I like the original Captain America a lot better. I really like the first Captain America.
I fell asleep during that.
Here's the deal. Next
Marvel
time,
hasn't made a good movie since Iron Man.
I thought the Avengers was great.
Avengers was fun.
It was entertaining.
It was fun. Stupid. I could never watch it again, but it was fun. Like, I watch it one time.
I was laughing at one time, it was fun.
It was a really...
Never again.
It was really fun.
I was laughing at parts that you're not
but
supposed to
Man
laugh at.
But Man of Steel is this pinnacle of greatness. Captain America 2 stinks?
Well, yeah. But Man of Steel is
I'm missing something.
Here.
Listen.
Like
if the bad guy
like
had
Superman.
A spaceship...
Yeah, right.
He probably would have loved it.
Didn't the good guys have a spaceship?
You know, here's what I don't get, though. Spider-Man is about something.
That thing never went
Spider-Man
to space.
Spider-Man 2 is about something.
I didn't see it.
Superman is about nothing. How do you like movies about nothing?
Let's clarify, though. It was probably the best Superman movie of recent.
Compared to what? Superman Returns or Superman 4, Quest for Peace?
Yeah, they're all pretty bad.
Yes, it was the best Superman movie since Superman 2 in 1980.
Yeah. Okay, Really, Superman 2 wasn't even that good.
Oh, what are you talking about? Wasn't that good? The Krypton Gang?
When you see Richard Donner's cut of what the movie he wanted to be and then what the movie ended up being, Superman 2 kind of sucks.
Did you watch God.
That's what I'm saying. Richard Donner's...
It's amazing.
Yeah, Richard Donner wanted the movie to be.
Same cut, different take on it. I don't know.
I think Richard Donner's movie would have been a lot better. I didn't really like Superman 2.
What were the differences?
Wow.
There was a lot of, like, plot differences.
Yeah. I just couldn't get into those old Superman movies. I mean, I applaud them for trying, but... I mean,
for their time, I'm sure they're great. If you go back and watch Superman, even the
great.
Movie now, it's very cheesy. It's very outdated.
No, it's great. The first Superman is great.
I just can't get past the really, really bad special effects.
But the first Superman, by the way, those special effects for the time were great. in 78.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And what I love about
even
what I love about those old Supermans is even the shitty ones is they were campy. Cuz Superman is campy. I love, Quest for Peace.
It's really awful,
but
you laugh at it.
But there's like a
Superman
thing.
Superman 3 is terrible.
Yeah, if you don't appreciate the campiness of in the first movie when he says, "I don't think you're a very good man, Lex Luthor," that's campy when he delivers that line.
We have news. Speaking of superheroes, Lucy Lawless has joined the cast of The Shield.
I'm gonna text Lucy right now and tell her how happy I am.
You should. That's huge news. She's gonna be a richer woman now. Another hit show for Lucy Lawless.
You gotta admit though, for being worth a half a bajillion dollars, she certainly was a cool bride.
By the way, I'm pretty sure she's a couple centuries old and she looks phenomenal.
Oh my God.
She's gotta be like 400 years old.
And she's such a cool girl.
She's
well, minus a zero.
Her superpower is that she has a few too many glasses of wine and then gains an incredible strength.
That's true.
She was fantastic.
I love her. She's great. She was a blast, too.
Oh, man. It kind of makes you want to go down to New Zealand.
How is Orange Julius still in business? I saw someone posted.
Dairy Queen bought him.
Someone just posted an Orange Julius thing on Facebook. I'm like,
I haven't seen one of those in years.
No.
Oh, there's one in Chicago on Lincoln.
No.
Is that on Lincoln?
Listen, they're all hooked up to Dairy Queens now.
Yeah, no, but right. But you know the one I'm talking about on Lincoln. Right?
You can get Orange Julius at every Dairy
Queen. But that Orange Julius has been next to that Dairy Queen forever.
Right, it's been Orange Julius for a while.
Yeah, right.
When was the last time you had an Orange Julius?
That's what I'm saying. How's it still around?
I went.
It's $4 for an orange juice.
Listen.
I can go to Mariano's and get fresh squeeze for $1.50.
No, it's not. You don't know what an Orange Julius is if you think it's orange.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. What is in it?
Oh, wait a second. We don't respect Mikey's food authority.
He must speak. He is right. There's like a little bit of cream or milk
in there. The best way I can explain it, Orange Julius, is imagine taking like frozen orange juice concentrate and like mixing it into vanilla soft serve and kind of turn it into, not really that thick, like a little thinner.
So it's a dreamsicle.
And with like chunks of real orange in it.
Yeah, that's kind of what
it is. It's like a dreamsicle.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you this. It actually is pretty good.
Like, I don't think it's that good.
Like on a hot summer day, you haven't had it in probably 2 decades, Matt.
Yeah, I probably haven't had it since I was 7 or 8. I don't even remember.
I had an Orange Julius a few years ago.
Okay, I went and got one the other day. It was $5. It was delicious. It is a kind of expensive, but you know what? Who else is doing it?
Jamba Juice?
Keep in mind frozen orange juice concentrate with gasoline makes napalm.
Really? Really? We shall test this.
You gotta make napalm and drop it on people.
Would have helped me the other day at Montrose Beach.
Oh God!
I didn't tell you I was in the middle of that whole thing.
Yeah, tell me that story. So for our listeners, the police had to shut down Montrose Beach a week ago.
Almost 400 police showed up to kick out 1,000.
There's a big barbecue going on or something, right?
Yeah.
A couple barbecues, if you will.
Well, there's a certain people like to get together and just have giant fiestas in public parks. And what's the difference? I know, there is no difference. But anyway, and then apparently there's some band playing, and it was advertised only within one particular ethnic community. So they all showed up from all over different areas of Chicagoland to Montrose Beach. And the thing that really upset me was just the complete, utter, like, disrespect to everything there.
What did they do?
Like, I saw, like, everybody was throwing garbage everywhere. Mm. Like, people were getting plates of tacos. And, like,
but how did it
they
get out
like,
of hand?
They were, like, taking one bite of taco, two bite of taco. And, like, simultaneously, while walking and talking, like, they don't even stop to walk to throw it on the ground. They just throw it on the ground
Mike,
while they're walking.
Yeah, but, Mike, you understand what I'm saying? Though, how did it get out of hand? I mean, there's one thing for
imagine
one guy
to thousand,
litter. No, I'm, that's
a thousand. A thousand hotheads that get drunk.
Really? Just everybody was
and then
fucking
one person starts, and it's the 10 cousins of that guy starts. Oh, then each one of those guys has 100 cousins there.
No veiled racism there.
No, not at all.
10 cousins of that guy start.
And then fucking Jose comes over.
So here.
And then Paco starts with Jose. And motherfuckers.
But I who knows what ethnic group it was.
Wait, how'd you end up at this thing, by the way? What sombrero got on your head?
He was looking for an Orange Julius and got lost.
I was sitting on the boat with Pat's dad and Uncle Jimmy.
Okay.
Okay. And I brought one of my, you know, collaborative associates with me. Who goes, hey, we got to go meet Randall up at Montrose Beach. You go, that's for slum people. You don't go to Montrose Beach.
No one goes to Montrose
Beach. Only bad things happen. No, we got to go to Montrose Beach. I go, listen, let me tell you, goes
perfect example.
Beach. Scumbags and hipster kids that have too much money, they want to act like they're poor. That's the only people, I, you know, and Lee Caprae. So, so finally, after some nagging and 3 hours of being at Diversity Harbor, I obliged only because I got to stop for gelato on the way.
Okay.
Which was so good, I stopped for gelato again on the way out.
Okay.
So,
is there a day this week you didn't have dessert?
Yeah. This is two Sundays ago.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we get up there. We get on the beach. I mean, it took us 20 minutes to find parking. I saw so many Lobo stickers and 97 F-150s with bumpers falling off. I knew something was going on.
What you talking about, man?
So, yeah, you know, it was okay. But, like, we get to the beach. Everything was fine. They have a little dog beach over there. And then I'm leaving. And there's, like, this one, like, concrete-built hut. And I'm, like, one side facing the beach, it's a little restaurant. And on the back side of it, it's a bathroom, men's bathroom. One side, women's bathroom, the other side. There's, like, 10 guys standing in line outside the bathroom door. And then the way this thing's positioned, like, there's a concrete patio on the right side, right outside the entrance to the men's room.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's two, like sand hills right next to it. There was literally 40 guys. I kept counting in the 30s, and there was at least 10 or 15 more, all sitting there, staying on the hills, peeing onto this patio. And there's so much pee on this patio, there's a standing, like, 3-inch puddle on a 20-by-20 concrete patio. And there's guys falling in it, and, like, just, like, they're starting to throw garbage in.
And you want to leave this for L.A.?
Yeah, right.
What's,
so
the then, matter right, with you?
Well, what's the matter we with We get me? Past that. We get past that into the crowd, and there's literally garbage. I mean, this is a huge park, and there was probably, like, garbage filling up all over the ground to the point where I couldn't take two strides without stepping in garbage. It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
I mean, it was just disgusting.
By the way, speaking of our boyfriend Frank Grillo, he's on Chelsea Lately tonight.
Oh, good boy for Frank.
Yeah. I bet she creamed her pants over him.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Can you believe
she probably squirted vodka?
By the way, can you believe Frank's 50 years old? I probably shouldn't say that.
Good for him.
Yeah, you don't know that?
No, I didn't.
Guy found the fountain of breath somewhere. He sucked on some fountain of breath.
No, I know some older Italian guys are like that. That kind of get that, like, kind of like black people. They just stop.
I get it, but bro's like 35 looking.
Do you realize the
I like
fact
how
that
Mikey, after that long story about being racist,
Italian
put the mic down
don't
to
crack.
Say black people.
Italian don't crack.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Well, you got to hit it with a police baton. That's why.
Yeah.
Do you realize the fact that he's on Chelsea Lately means that him and the host have a combined age of 159?
And a combined blood alcohol level of 5.
Of 5? Of just 5 with no decimal point?
Yeah, right, no decimal point. Charles?
Matthew?
You really considering moving to L.A.?
Yes, for 2.5 years.
Charles?
Yeah.
I'm applying to jobs in California and Anaheim, or San Francisco, Anaheim area.
San Francisco, Anaheim area? That area.
Right.
That area of
That 1,000 square miles.
Yeah, right.
I'm applying to jobs.
I made commute.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I'm applying to jobs in the San Francisco area. I've also applied to jobs in other parts
so
of
So you're basically saying the whole state of California.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right. applying to jobs in the San Diego, Tahoe area.
It's not Oakland. Yeah, in the San Diego, Tahoe.
Yeah, no, not Oakland.
You know, Ojai, Napa.
Yeah, right.
That area.
Suburbs.
You're right.
Suburbs, yeah.
Yeah, I would move out there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I wish we could get Mikey a job to get him out there.
Hey, I tried once this past summer.
You're still, yeah, I know. I know, you're keeping your eyes.
I didn't leave.
No, you're keeping your eyes open.
Boy, Mike, but I get rejection.
I can't picture you there. I got to say.
Why don't you just save up money and just go out there?
Yeah, that's
roll
something
the
I'm
dice.
Thinking about.
Roll them.
Yeah, that's one of the.
Look at me.
One of the things that I fought about last week.
Let's
look
talk about this.
Me.
I cannot picture Mikey in Southern California. Can you?
Yes, I can.
Listen,
I'll tell you why.
I can hang out at the windows fucking every Friday.
Before you even defend yourself, let me. I'll tell you why. I thought about this numerous times while I was out there.
Why, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was all confirmed to be by my lawyer the last day I was there.
What did Lenny say?
Yeah, right. My other lawyer. The one that's passed the bar. Not the one I'm having breakfast with in like 8 hours. So all week, I'm walking around. I'm like, I'm at Bouchon. I'm like, Mikey would love Bouchon. I'm at this restaurant. I'm like, Mikey would really like this restaurant.
I love great halibut. I do love Bouchon.
I've
been to Bouchon in Vegas and LA.
I had swordfish somewhere. I'm like, boy, Mikey would love this swordfish. It's delicious. Everywhere I'm eating, I'm like, Mikey would love this. Every hotel I go hang out at a hotel bar, I'm like, Mikey would like these people. Lenny would like these people. Then it happened. I turn in my script. Studio comes back to me and they go, this is one of the best first drafts of a script we've probably ever read, ever. They go, it may be the best first draft.
Which I'm sure they tell everybody.
No, because I got my notes. No. I considered that. Until I
no,
got
that's
my...
not an insult.
No.
I'm assuming that right. They do tell everybody.
And I
that.
Considered that until I got my notes for them from them, which were a paragraph long. That's all the notes I have on the whole pilot. So they really like it. But here's why they really like it. They go, oh, we love these characters. They're so rich. And they go, who's this Lou guy? Is he real? I go, mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. And they go, who's this Coop guy? Is he real? I go, mm-hmm, pretty much. And they go, who's this Chester McAllister guy? Is he real? I go, mm-hmm, pretty much. And they're like, we really want to meet these guys. And I go, okay. And I go to lunch with my lawyer. And my lawyer wants to know, like, my whole life story. And he wants to know all about the guys.
He wants to know how much money he can get.
Yeah. Oh, no. He thinks, no. Trust me. He wants to make a lot of money. And he goes, he's asking about my friends, like, a lot. And I'm not sure why. And I love Danny, but, like, I'm not computing. He looks like John Krasinski, by the way, my lawyer. He's, like, 6'6" and, like, looks just like Krasinski. And we're at Factor's Deli, which, by the way, I would argue it's a little pricey, Factor's, but their pastrami may be better than Greenblatt's and maybe better than, what's the one off of Melrose? Lee, what's the other deli? Cantor's. Thank you. Cantor's. Okay. Yeah, just a quick little review there. Factor's I was very impressed with, and they've been around a long time. And then we're having lunch there, by the way, another side story. We're having lunch there, and he bumps into his mother there. She brings, like, all her older Jew broad friends with her, and it's really Jew broady in there. So it's, like, really
I would probably love that.
Well, it's in Beverly Hills, so you walk in, it's, like, all these old rich Jew broads, and they're all, like, did you go to the polka game the other night? Like, they just talk, like, everything's, like, pinochle and poker.
I would be right at home.
Like a Rob Reiner film?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we saw this nice house up in the hills. It may be a little too rich for your blood. They talk like that. It's stuff like that. I heard too rich for your blood with a hand flip about 5 times.
I kind of want, like, I do have it because, of my, you know, my second parents are my Jewish parents. I always joke about that. But
yeah.
I always wanted, like, an old Jewish grandma.
But they all talk like that. They're
I know,
like,
it's great.
A little too rich for your blood. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It's always backhanded.
Honey, do you want one or two matza balls in the soup?
You should just take
just
one.
Give him three. He's a trick boy.
Yeah, right. He's a big boy. So, long story short, I'm learning from this whole week that, like, my friends would actually probably, as long as I don't have to, like, help get them all jobs and shit, like, they would do very well out here because everybody's very fascinated by my friends because they think they're characters. And in L.A., while if someone said your friends are characters in Chicago, I'm somewhat insulted. In L.A., it's actually a good thing because that's how you get friends in L.A., by being different. They like people that are different because so many people act the same in L.A. For a place that's full of transplants, by the way, it's very Stepford Wifey out there sometimes. So when you can step out of the Stepford Wifey thing, people are attracted to you. I think that's why people like me in L.A. is because I don't sound like I'm from L.A. I don't really act like I'm from L.A. I dress like an asshole, like I don't care. And they're, like, attracted to that. They're like, wow, this guy's not trying to fit in with everybody.
Still wearing
a mask. You know, I think you're right about
you
that.
You knew when you traveled out there, when you visit, and Lenny knows why I think Lenny's visited so many times.
When me and
Lenny
are walking around
with
David Drive, and they're staring at us like farm animals.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I think that what happens is that the reason that happens to a lot of transplants is that they get so hyped up to go out there. They, like, get there and try their hardest just to become LA.
And you got to remember something else, too, Mikey. everyone goes out there with basically no money, or else they have very rich parents. But they're all trying to make it. And so they think, okay, the best way to make it, or at least the quickest way to make it, is to fit in rather than stand out, because it takes longer for people to figure you out if you stand out than if you fit in.
Yeah, and then that's probably the opposite.
It is the opposite.
You know, I mean,
it is the opposite. That's why I've had all the grace and good luck that I've had up to this point, is because I've stood out instead of stood in. Like, if I didn't have a fascinating story to tell, I'd be nobody out there. Nobody. So, I mean, you have to stand out there. But that's why I think you guys would do well. Like, Danny wants to meet Lenny real bad. I don't know why. I'm, like, staring at him going, he's a lawyer. Just like you.
Not really that interesting.
Hey, how many other alcoholic lawyers do you know that still live with their parents?
Oh, no, I'll tell you exactly what I said. Well, I didn't even bring that up. I'll tell you exactly what I said about Lenny. I go, he's a politician, and like every politician, he's a lot of fun to be around, but I don't know if you're going to want to be his friend. Put it that way. And he goes, oh, the politicians here are pretty nice. And I go, because you have like four aldermen and a mayor.
Yeah, right, yeah. That's it.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, that's the other thing. Don't fuck you with the government in L.A. They really try not to. California's just a broken state. But they're not broken because they were corrupt. Cough, cough, cough. They're broken because they're stupid. Now, that being said, they're not trying to fuck you over in California. They do a little bit with taxes. And if you legitimately break the law, it's going to cost you money. But in Chicago, they're trying to rape you at every turn.
I don't know. You just
where
you
got it?
No, I'm not.
You just told me how you got impounded $1,000.
I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing with what you just said.
Is that not asinine, though?
No, it's not. But I'm saying, like, you gotta have money. Just if you're gonna move out there, listen.
Oh, to L.A. Yeah.
Save fucking up.
I told my friend this. My friend Sean.
I mean, that's anywhere. Obviously, anywhere wants
you
to have spending.
Who went to Del Sol with us? None of you guys were there.
I've been there, but I didn't.
It was me and Lenny. Oh, it was Steve and Pat Wimp and me and Lenny. Okay, and Anthony. We went to Del Sol. My friend Sean is the GM at Del Sol. He's 22 now. And I don't know if I should even tell this story. I'm spilling beans.
Fuck it.
But he's talking about how he wants to move to California. And I go, save 10 grand. He goes, 10?
10.
And I go, or save 5 and buy another car. Buy a decent car and 5, and you can get by for a while. And plus, you're a GM.
That doesn't seem like a lot of money.
You're going to need that car.
Well, because he's a GM at a restaurant, he could probably get a job pretty quickly out there. There are a lot of restaurant jobs.
Okay.
A guy like you, I'd say save 10.
Yeah, for me.
That seems like not a lot.
It's a lot.
Because you worked for the government, and you really don't want to show that off.
I'm saying 10 grand. I would think you would like to move out there. You'd probably like 15 or 20, I would say.
Well, yeah, if you want to be safe, yeah. I mean, basically... That's if you're like, if I don't get a job for a year. If you think you can get a job in 6 months, 10 grand's fine.
Yeah, you can do 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got credit. Credit don't hurt.
Yeah.
But
you don't want to
get
credit.
If you're like, what if I don't get a job for 6 months? If you're one of those kind of people, then bring 15 to 20. But if you're confident you're going to start working, you only need 10.
Well, but say I were to move out there and I realize I'm not going to get an HR position right away, I would take a job.
Well, you and Mikey make about the same. And if you moved out there and you guys are turning down jobs that are like 30, 40 grand a year, I'd say, well, that's kind of on you. I mean, that's the risk you're taking by moving out there.
See, keep in mind, when we moved out there, we did not know what was going to happen. We had no idea.
And we didn't know how it worked.
No. Well, we didn't know. Well, you'd lived there. You knew a few things. But for the most part, we didn't know. Who was going to be our friend? Who was going to take meetings with us? What projects we're going to do? What kind of
now
work we were going to be able to do?
Right.
It's very different now. It's completely different.
Right. And I got to tell you, every time I come home, everyone in L.A. begs me to come back more and more.
Of course.
And to the point where it's like I said, I'm feeling more wanted there. And I'm feeling like me coming home, even though it was never like a power move or anything, is kind of like, well... They're like, okay, let's work with Matt to get him back in L.A. But it's like...
You better stay here to finish this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Let me tell you something. If we weren't doing a movie right now...
That's good.
After day 9 the other day, I probably would have sent for my car and stayed in L.A.
Yeah, well...
I was apartment hunting when I was out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you, career-wise, it makes sense.
Not even just career-wise, just like lifestyle-wise. People out there... I like it.
That's
I
why
like
I'm
it.
Afraid to visit, because I'm
it's
afraid I'm not going to want to come back.
Listen, let me tell you something that just pisses people off when they hear it. Saturday through Monday, so that's 10 days, 77
degrees.
So
basically what it was today.
Every single
the fucking
no
weather.
Humidity. Ever.
Oh, humid today.
You know what?
Last night. I'm
the
sorry,
weather
I'm
the weather is one argument
yesterday
that I'm prepared to have with everybody. It's too fucking nice there. Fuck that bullshit. I'm
nice.
So yeah, too much sun, too much heat. I like chaos.
77 too
I like,
much heat.
I like
every day in the middle of July.
Let me tell you something. This past month it was 90. It was 90. Then the next week, it went down to fucking 60, 65
you
in
know
Chicago.
What? And, here,
and
actually,
then it was 90 again.
To make
I
the
love
weather
that.
In L.A. even better,
I love
if
that.
It's too hot in the valley, you drive over the mountain and it drops
right.
20 degrees.
Yeah, right,
it drops
right,
20
right.
degrees.
What do you want?
15.
Right. What do you want?
I mean, yeah, right, whatever you want.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
Oh, if we lived in the valley,
and
you go to the
still
Four
better
Seasons
than
bar for
negative
the night, and you sit in 70 degrees
oh, I
weather.
Like the cold.
No, but this is
makes
what you do.
Feel
this
tough.
Is why we lived in the valley.
Nothing makes you feel tough.
We lived in the valley, and maybe 6 days a year, it's like 100 degrees. And it is hard.
It was fucking hot in the fucking valley.
That's
I'm
what
so-
I just said. There
yeah.
was like 6 days a year where it was 100 plus,
yeah.
though.
Oh. More these days, folks. The whole fucking region is on fire.
But here's what's great. Oh, well, it was never 100 when I was there this week.
All
middle
right.
of July.
Well,
but this is what was great.
That's nice.
I go to Burbank. I go to the movie theater all day. Air conditioning. At night, guess what? It's 80. Over with. Or
yeah.
Maddie Aaron drives over the hill. Goes to the Four Seasons, sits at the outdoor bar, where, by the way, it's only 80 in West Hollywood. It drops down to 70, and I go, oh, time to go home. Time to go to the gym. I'm out of here. That's all you do. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Can't actually stand how much you are complaining about how perfect the weather is. I've never heard
it's
someone...
It's too nice.
Yeah, you're like Farrah Fawcett. She was too hot. Fucking bitch.
Yeah. That's what, I knew there was something I liked about her.
Deal with another negative 20 with
too nice.
Snow waiting for buses and trains. I'll be happy.
Let me ask you, Charles, are you ready for the snow this year? Because it's coming like 3 months.
Yeah,
that's
no,
right.
I'm really not. Yeah. I'm still not over
you
last winter.
And listen, we can get a big place out there. The more of us that go, the
cheaper
the rent is out there.
Do you know how sick of each other we
no,
would
no,
get?
No, 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 but I'll tell you. This,
I'm
I mean,
already
I'm,
this podcast.
I'm not even no, just saying
that. I saw that. I had
I was,
that feeling when
I
pulled
was,
up.
But I was looking at rent out there. I was just telling you. I was apartment hunting. One bedrooms are like $1,000. You know how much two bedrooms are?
$1,400.
They're like, hey, guess what? If you get a roommate, we'll cut your rent in half.
And then three bedrooms.
Right. It's like $1,800.
Right.
Yeah, it's insane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they do the same thing here. But.
No, they do. So if you can have roommates,
yeah,
you're basically paying nothing to live
I'm
out
I'm just
there.
Saying well, we would all get sick of each other.
You're the only one that says that. I think you get sick of us. It's not the other way around. I don't get sick of you. Listen, I was born sick of you. it doesn't get this way.
Feelings mutual.
Yeah, it doesn't get worse. I don't get upset. You're the one that gets all... You slammed the door in my face.
You did slam the door in my face.
Right, exactly.
All right.
I can live out there with you and Mikey.
I might hit you once or twice.
It's all right.
I mean, I'd probably...
You take them.
I'd probably hug you afterwards.
Oh, thank you. With some ice packs, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd probably, I'd get upset. I'd punch you. And then I'd, feel bad. I'd go get, a bag of frozen peas. I'd wake you up and, kind of put it on your eye.
And then if we got mad at... And if Mikey got mad at us, we would just bake something.
Who would I realistically live with out there? I'll tell you what. For as insane as Lee is, I never had a problem with you as a roommate.
Absolutely.
But you're insane.
Yeah,
you are insane.
So are you.
But, I never... We never got in any fights.
No.
Nothing. Marconi wasn't that bad.
He was clean.
Yes, which was thumbs up. I'm cool with that. Him and Lee kind of balanced each other out. I think anything that would have annoyed me about Lee, Caesar cleaned up with his lint roller, and anything that would have annoyed me about Caesar, Lee cussed about in the apartment and kind of evened out how boring he can be. So,
and Matt sat on the front porch and smoked cigarettes.
That's all I did. That's all I did. But that worked out.
But,
I'm very easy to get along with.
I'm easy to get
along
with,
though.
Too. And in terms of insane, God, I felt the same about you and Caesar.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I think I'm easy to get along
I think
with.
So
I would
too.
Love to hear what Caesar had to say.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a whole episode.
Yeah, we should have him on the show. Anyway.
We should interview him for 200. That's the next 200
the next,
is the next
is Caesar Marconi is our 200th guest.
200 episodes.
Wow.
200 episodes. Yeah,
200.
So we'll interview Caesar.
You know what
200.
The 200th episode should be?
I thought
be?
You want ratings.
You know what the 200th episode should be? The Triple Expo.
The Triple Expo. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Dredge it up.
Did Caesar delete his Facebook?
Is he not in the book?
I don't know. I noticed the other day I wasn't friends with him on Facebook anymore.
Did you hide him and forget about it?
No,
I've done that a few times.
His Facebook's on here because he shared John Farriter's thing the other day, or it looks like. He's just barely on anymore.
I was talking to my friend's cousin the other day, and I realized that I hit him on Facebook, and I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, wow. He's giving a best man speech in one of these photos. That had to be a winner.
I'm a great friend.
I want to hear a Marconi best man speech.
Well, it's
got to
be better than the same one Len gave five times.
No, it's not. It's not more entertaining than any speech Len's given.
That's true.
So, yeah, you know, Lee and Caesar were all right. This is my point. If I can get along with Lee and Caesar, I'm pretty sure you and I could live together.
I'll be.
Yeah, right, okay.
We're going to have our bouts, but we'll be...
I don't even know if we'll have our bouts. I'm gone 90% of the time. I'm never home. And when I'm
and
home...
we
I'm...
would be without jobs and be home all the time.
And when I'm home, I'm writing. And when I'm not home, the three of us are at Joe Montana's doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like the worst life ever.
No, it wouldn't be bad at all.
No.
Oh, you don't mind seeing Joe Montana? You're okay with that?
I like Joe.
You think Lenny would be okay seeing Dan Loria here and there?
Joe
I love Dan Loria.
Yeah, Joe came to the club. He was great.
He is great. He came to the club?
Yeah, a while ago. He gave a speech.
Whenever Lasorda's at the club, does he get stains on his shirt?
No, but they put a bib on him.
Okay.
I'm not joking.
Because he used to get stains
this
on his
shirt.
This
dude eats a bowl of neck bones. This is bad for radio, but it's finger to elbow. Bigger than finger to elbow. That's how big Lasorda's bowl is with neck bones. And every time he finishes, he goes up and he gives a speech and he tells a stupid joke. And the end is like, let me tell you something. At night when you go home, before you put your head on your pillow and you say your prayers, say a prayer for Tommy and say a prayer for the Dodgers. And every time, somebody in the back's got to go, fuck the Dodgers, what about the Cubbies?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But I will say Lasorda was great, signed everything anybody had.
How about the White Sox? They're in Bridgeport.
That's what I'm saying. I had dinner with Tommy once.
He was really fun.
He was
cool.
Funny as fuck.
Yeah, he was. He was telling lots of jokes.
He ripped on Jimmy the Hat for like an hour.
He's about your size.
He's about 4 inches shorter than me, actually.
Yeah, you're about right.
He shrunk. Tommy shrunk over the years. He may have been my size at one point in time.
Yeah, and he's not on Slim Fast anymore.
No, really?
Oh, God.
He wasn't on Slim Fast when I had dinner with him, but he was ripping on Jimmy the Hat the whole time,
which is always
priceless.
Good.
Priceless.
Do you remember those Jimmy the Hat days?
What do they call you? Jimmy the Shoe? What do you get?
And Jimmy gets all pissed off.
Jimmy the cheap ring.
I don't care who this motherfucker is. I'll kill him.
Yeah, right. Jimmy walked out in the hallway and goes, that fucking Lasorda doesn't respect me one fucking bit. Call me Jimmy the Shoe, Jimmy the Belt, Jimmy the Pant. It's Jimmy the Hat. And I go, well, that's probably why.
That's because you're Jimmy the you're a fucking joke. So, you remember that time I went to Carmine's and my Irish friend came over and started eating my food while I was in the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy Head, I was going to stab him for you, Kez, while you were in the bathroom, but I don't want to cause a scene. I'm like, okay, Jimmy.
Man, he's a character, Jimmy the Head.
Yeah.
He's a fucking character.
You and Stan just had a nice chat about him.
Oh,
I seen Stan.
Good old Stan.
I saw Stan today.
You see Stan all the time.
He was walking with his headphones.
Yeah.
Was he on the way to the gay bar or jail?
Were they beat?
I think the car story works out.
Perillo?
Did he really sell cars now?
Yeah, because that's who's backing him for his new bar. That's what I heard. He's putting up the money.
You know who knows the Perillos?
Really? Perillo's putting up the money for that.
Ask Luisi.
Formerly gay
Luisi
bar.
Knows
the
guy.
I know the Perillos. Hat's close with the Perillos.
But that was the guy we were at Richards in, right? It was at Richards.
You talking about the Greek?
Oh, the Greek? Andy? Andy Golfkus? I shouldn't say that in the air. But, yeah. I remember that.
Hey, Manny, what's going on, pal? Hey. Oh, hey, sweetheart. Oh, look at the tits on this girl. Boy, this is great.
All I know is Stan's working at a car dealership.
He is. He's working at...
Perillo BMW.
Pirello BMW. Yeah, that's where he's at.
I don't remember who's back.
Think he's not selling cars. I think he's doing marketing
for them
or something. Yeah, right, right. Marconi does marketing. That's all you need to know about that. So, okay, so let's think this out. Everyone in our movie right now, because we have this movie we're filming six more days of. I'm trying to get this done desperately so I get the fuck out of here. who could we get to get jobs in L.A. and move out?
Well, just let's watch the first three seasons of Entourage and we'll figure it out.
Well, who do we like? Who do we like enough that we'd live with?
Who don't we hate enough? Who don't you hate?
Well, there's Maddie.
You know, Lenny's so funny. Lenny goes, but I'm just getting the bar in Illinois. That's what he said to me like 2 weeks ago. He goes, maybe I got to get the bar in both. I go, do you know how hard it is to get the bar in California, Len? If you thought Illinois was like you study every day for like a year.
Yeah, there's a reason why UCLA is in California.
Well, you know what I found out? You know what?
yes, because it's the University of
okay,
California.
But you know what I found out?
All right.
What I found out was, though, I can't say who told me, is Lenny could actually become a manager or an agent in California now without being a lawyer. So he's in the clear.
He legally?
Whatever. Yeah. Legally, he can do.
I know California
got rid of that. Oh, where
so,
agents were lawyers.
So it's easier to become that job than it was before.
Yes.
So and more sleazeballs can do it.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
So you're gonna be. Listen, I got you a part in this movie.
Yep.
You're gonna be playing a swan in a in like a lake full of swans.
Oh, if there's anybody that would do a casting couch, it's Lenny.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you something. I'm convinced.
What's he gonna do with politics?
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, there's zero corruption.
I'm sitting with three guys acting in this movie. But I'll just tell you, just based off the personality and the look, Lenny and Mikey will be the first people to get phone calls to acting gigs outside of our projects. Because of their look. Charles, okay. Lee, I'm sorry you're not that fat. But... Or jolly.
I'm okay. I, you know, as long as I...
You're going to have to earn it a little more.
I would take a Dean Laraya career or a Frank Stallone, maybe. You
okay,
know?
Frank Stallone's got a career.
Yeah, right.
You're a singer?
He can be.
Whatever.
Have you heard Mikey you and know. Richards? He sings.
Unfortunately.
Thank you.
Hey!
Well, Steve Weirick and I, we were talking about this, and I'm like, man, you know, Lenny and Mike, you're kind of assholes. They're probably going to get work off this movie. They're going to get work off this movie, and, like, me, Chucky, and Lee are going to have to, like, work to get gigs.
Yeah.
And then Steve goes, yeah, but you guys won't have any problems getting insurance on your films. I go, that's true. It kind of evens itself out,
don't
it?
Yeah, it does even itself out. That's all right.
Well, it's a good
Lee just has to...
I'm doing acting classes,
but... you just have to pretend your back will hold up.
Yeah, right.
Chuck is actually... You got nothing except the IBS.
Yeah.
Oh, that's on the air.
Yeah. I'm sure it's been said before. At least you're not telling women as I'm trying to hit on them in bars.
No,
that's true. That's true. And
by then I will have had enough acting. I will have had enough acting classes. By
you're
then.
Loving the acting class, right?
I do.
The one I recommended, you went to Piven?
I went to Piven, yeah. Piven's
good,
theater.
Right?
Yeah, very good.
Good.
Very good.
It's good.
But that'll compensate for the lack of my fat.
Listen, the reason I recommended Piven to you, though, was because I think they bring out this naturalness in people that succeed there.
Yeah.
They bring out this, like, you're never going to look like you're acting.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
I think that's the main thing they're going to teach you there.
Yeah, well,
it's a big thing.
Every time someone does a scene in this class, when it goes really well, the standard compliment is, boy, it didn't even look like you were acting.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that you're a great actor when it doesn't look like acting. Sometimes you have to do capital A, Al Pacino acting.
So in your class, are you doing a scene from a play over the course of this whole quarter or what?
No.
Okay.
So
every week you're getting different assignments.
It's very loose, different assignments. Again, it's all improv-based.
Oh, you're doing the improv one. Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
well, I mean, that's
okay,
the kind
okay,
of style
okay.
that they teach. They don't teach...
Okay. No,
scripted
they
dialogue.
Do both.
Hitting
your
marks.
Scripted there too.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Yeah, I've done that one too.
Right.
That's when you get closer towards actually being in their productions, they make you do
See,
that.
See, that's the thing I would do. I want to do is I want to learn the real stuff, but
yeah.
I know.
You always say that, and I always say that, and then I experience it, and I'm like, eh.
it is good, so we'll see. I'll make myself out of
our movie? Here's who I could legitimately, man, I shouldn't even say this on the air, but here's who legitimately could make it in L.A.
Lenny, period. Anyway.
Lenny.
So.
Turzo.
Yeah.
Chucky. I guess Lee. You're here, so I got to
say. Wait. Was that in order?
No. It's not in order. This is in no order. Dupre has a legit shot.
Yeah.
Wendy has a legit shot.
Two very obvious reasons.
Well, it's the same reason as Lenny and Turzo, though, is their unique look. It's all about boobs, Chuck.
Yeah. Doesn't matter the gender.
It's their unique look.
Hey, she's got Crohn's. What do you do?
Oh my God!
Hey, it's okay to out me. You can't out her.
You got the idea. You'd be a perfect couple.
So, but here's the thing.
You want to go for a Mexican? Never.
They have a unique look that brings them in the door. So if they have any kind of acting talent to suffice, it'll work.
I think Chuck and I are going to have a little bit of a problem. Harder.
All my scenes are with Maddie. Like, gotten to see Maddie act a lot. Has he been good? I don't watch the dailies.
I haven't been watching the takes.
I won't watch dailies.
Yeah, and
everyone tells me Maddie's great.
The one scene him and Melissa had where they were walking, I mean, we were obviously
far away. I saw that one, though. They looked good in that. I didn't.
And then the one I saw you guys in.
He was good in the cafe scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
The one I saw with Ronnie's place, I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, Cigars.
Cigars, yeah. The scene I saw you guys in Cigars, he was good. I mean, it was just like 30 seconds.
So business. When I act, I am, like, in and out. I don't pay attention to, like,
anything. Yeah, me and Lenny saw that.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to shit. Yeah. I walk in, I do my bit, and then I'm like, do we got to do it again? Even though I'm the director. I'm like, are we doing it again? Yes, we are doing it again. And
yeah, Ross and Pat were really helping with that.
Yeah, and then I'm done. Like, if I can do a scene in 3 takes, 4 takes, I'm the happiest motherfucker on the planet. I could never do a David Fincher movie.
Well, we've got.
I'd go nuts.
All those
I'd
takes.
Lose
we've
my fucking mind.
Lucky.
Or,
like, a lot of our scenes
Kubrick.
Haven't been.
Oh, yeah, but you got to do. Yeah.
Kubrick, I'd kill myself.
Yeah, after doing, like, 10. Because there was a couple times we did, like, 7.
Not 10. Mikey, on the Zodiac 30. Movie, on the Zodiac movie, Jake Gyllenhaal had to walk across a bridge, walk, no lines, 100 times.
Listen, well, and
Fincher.
Listen. Because when there was one scene we did, we had to do it like 6 or 7 times or whatever.
Right.
And like after like 5 times, I'm like, really?
Okay. Now imagine Stanley Kubrick.
We also ate 5 hot dogs.
No. I'm going to give you another example. Stanley Kubrick is the type of guy where he'd sometimes make you do 75 takes.
See, I wonder if it's harder when it's improv, though, because every time it's like, oh, what did I just say? How close do I have to be to what I just said?
I'll tell you when I'm editing.
You're right.
I'll tell you then. Who else could make
but
it
from
our movie?
But we've had a lot
movie?
Of luck where a lot of our scenes we haven't had people like, ah, fucker, start
laughing. I really have nothing bad to say. I think I've gotten really lucky where we casted a bunch of non-actors and everyone's pretty good.
Playing themselves.
You know, I think one of the best.
No, Kyan's good. Don was good.
I didn't see any of
that. I'm not. Listen, obviously I don't have a ton of experience in the department.
I'm sad we lost Ron Zimmerman's stuff.
Yeah, real sad about that.
I still.
But the one thing I'll say that.
You're heartbroken.
One thing I'll say really quickly that I really took as a huge compliment is after doing like the second take we ever did and seeing all the cameramen laughing.
They love
you.
They love you.
That was cool.
Listen, I mean.
You got the cameraman to laugh. That's impressive.
Here's the thing. Here's why I hit up the girls today. I'm like, I really need you to start confirming when you get my emails. I really need you to be 110% these last 6 days. Because here's the deal. And I there's a lot going on with this movie that I cannot tell. We rap. That's the deal I made. I'm not saying a word about it. But this movie is going to be seen by a lot of people, a lot of important people.
Right.
And it's a really good opportunity. And I just can't talk about anything right now. But, like, I'm telling people, trust me, you're going to want to put in your best fucking effort. You're going to want to confirm that you know when the dates are and you show up. Because if I got to cut you out of scenes or cut you out of the movie, about 6 months to a year from now,
right.
you're going to be really upset
right.
about it.
We got a really good thing going here
yeah.
if Chuck doesn't Hershey squirt all over the camera.
Well, thank you, Omar Dorsey. Please tune in to Ray Donovan on Sundays.
Thank you, Little O.
Chuck,
thank you, O.
Yeah, Little O.
Little O and Big O.
That's a great story.
That is a great.
The By the way, Omar delivered the goods in
yeah,
that interview.
He was good.
Mikey, Chucky, Lee, and we'll see you maybe next week for 200. I don't know who the guest is yet.
Holy God,
I told Pat, I'm not doing a 200 unless there's a big guest. We'll skip to 201 and go back to 200.
Okay.
We'll see you later.
Thanks, everybody.
Doctor Who, Pat. Yeah.